Week as each new game in the shooty crafty genre welcomes a new pool of players, Fortnite claims the record concurrent players crown from PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. This is just one new battle for the gaming ages. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's news starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 718 for this February the 11th of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, and sadly not joining us tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers, but she will be joining us by phone a little later in the show. But here in studio we have, as he usually is, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good to see you. Good for you to be here.
Yes.
What's new with you? How's life?
Nothing really new.
Just yeah? How's old. The DDR machine?
It's still DDRing.
Yeah, are you actually still using it?
Yeah, for at least 30 minutes a day.
Nice. Is it like weight? You didn't notice an effect on that, like getting that
Not
extra
yet.
Exercise?
No. I'm still working on the diet part of that. But I've been pretty good about like eating, except for...
Well, I was going to say, bringing 12 breadsticks to OLR.
I did not eat all 12 breadsticks.
No, you did.
I ended up about like six of them.
You did so. Very good. I was supposed to start a diet today, and I still ate a breadstick.
And to be fair, I mean, yeah, it's not the best way to do a diet, but like I'm still well within my calories, even though I ate those six breadsticks, because I really didn't eat it. I had like just like a small thing of cereal in the morning, like very small, and then like nothing the rest of the day.
Yeah,
it's not the way you're supposed to do it.
No,
but
you don't want to starve yourself. That's not the way to do it. But weekends for me like throw off my rhythm anyway. Like if I have to diet, I have to fix my weekday routine. Like I have to eat a better breakfast. I have to not buy candy bars from the vending machine at work. I have to, you know, not eat out all the time at lunch. Or if I do eat out, you know, make better choices. That's where I can really make changes. The weekend is always weird, you know? And I find that I'm traveling a lot on the weekend, and that screws up stuff too, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been good for the most part. I've been pretty good, so we'll see how it works out.
All right. Well, I want to introduce our chat room as well over at live.vognetwork.com, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show. So if you are joining us in chat, a big hello to you guys, which I think we have some faces who I haven't seen in a while. We have some new faces as well. So we've got a whole lot of kind of a different mixture of folks tonight. I see the Rob D, who I haven't seen in a long, long time, is listening to the show again tonight. How are you doing? Hope you're doing good, Rob. We missed This Day in Gaming, or was that the name of the show? I don't know, but he had a great radio voice on that show. And then PJ Reno, who I think is newer to the show, is listening, saying, I'm going to play Civ 6 while I listen. Civilization 6 got a new expansion just this past week. I need to check it out still. I've barely scratched the surface on Civ 6. I mean, I played a couple games right when it first came out, you know, and of course I love the new Christopher Tin song that's in the introduction, because those songs set the mood, right? Baba Yetu for Civ 4 set the mood. He didn't do the song for Civ 5, but the music in Civ 5 wasn't bad. It just, you know, wasn't the same.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of like sets the mood of those songs really say to me, like Baba Yetu or the meaning of flight or whatever it translates to in the dream of flight, it's translated in Italian. Those songs really say to me, like, prepare to lose your entire evening to this bullshit. That's what those, like, it really like sets that mood of, you know, kiss your evening goodbye, you're gonna be up until 3 a.m tonight because you don't know when to quit. Like, that's what those very epic Grammy winning and nominated songs say to me.
Are there a lot of like Civilization streamers?
Oh sure, over on Twitch I've seen a few. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an intensely strategical game, so there's some people that will, you know, yeah, I think, and especially for the people that really like to kind of find that mix between IRL streaming and Civ 6, you don't have to, like, think a lot while you're, well, I mean, that sounds horrible. You do have to think a lot while you're playing Civ 6, but it's not action-oriented. If you sit there and take a long time taking your turn, you're not really going to get penalized for that, you know, so that's so people that like to interact with their audience a little more probably actually favor a game like Civilization, where you're not, you know, when I'm playing something like Overwatch, I kind of have to focus on the match the whole time because you don't really get a chance to stop and catch your breath. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's why Civ does pretty well over there. It's not, I mean, it's not in the top 25 games, but there's an audience for it. There sure is. Let's see, over in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, I'm looking at some other comments. Oh, Rob D corrects me on the name. This Day in Gaming. I apologize. It was a long time ago. T-Dig. Let's see. Also in chat, PG Reno saying, my hubby's playing Monster Hunting World. He rented it from a Red Box. I wanted to play Monster Hunter World, but I don't know. I did the share play thing with Shane because he has it and he's really into it right now. And I wasn't feeling it. Like, I remember playing the demo on the Wii U and I thought it was awful. Like, I just wasn't into it. And then I was kind of watching Shane play it and I was like, I don't know. These battles don't look like my kind of thing. Like, I kind of see the Phantasy Star Online element of it that looks really fun. You know, I love me some Phantasy Star Online, Phantasy Star Universe. But I didn't like the whole, like, you know, you're whacking on the monster over and over and over again, and then it kind of runs off. And I don't know. Maybe if I explored more of the classes you could play in it and found something I like, I'd probably be into it more. I like the Final Fantasy ripoff Monster Hunter game they did on 3DS, Final Fantasy Explorers, I think it was called.
Oh,
I like that one. But I could be like a black mage and stuff, and you know, I didn't necessarily have to like actually like chase monsters in melee range or any of that. So, but I know Monster Hunter World has its fans, so I'm not dogging your game. It's just, you know, not everything's for everyone. I couldn't really get into it at first. I don't want to drop $60 on a game that I don't feel really, really good about, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. See, the bestest man in chat says, Civilization is the closest I get to referring to a game as crack. Yep, pretty much. Those games are, you know, there's a reason why the just one turn quote, one more turn quote is pretty infamous out there, because it's very easy to think, oh, the next turn is when I'm going to get some big science discovery that's going to change the game, or, oh, one more turn until I invade that capital city, and it's just, you know, one more, and then suddenly it's 4 a.m., and we'll look at your life, look at your choices. All right, let's get into tonight's kickoff topic, which is about another video game franchise I know we are really into. So a lot of news coming out this weekend about, Loki?
Kingdom Hearts 3. Woo-hoo. So the Epic Guest, I didn't know that they had an expo in Japan for D23 as well.
I didn't either.
So apparently that's a thing.
It makes sense, though. I mean, Disney's huge in Japan. The right. D23 Expo does very well here in the States. So it makes sense that Japan gets their own version of it.
Yeah, so they had a new trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3, and they even still says it's 2018. So I'm hoping that stays true. But the big thing that they showed off, of course, was one new world, and it's Monsters, Inc. world. So they have, you know, Sora, Donald, and what the fuck, Goofy. I mean, like, Goofy looks fucking nuts.
Well, they're all monsters, basically, but cute Pixarified monsters.
Right, exactly. So it's cute. Like, the trailer, you know, they have one of the gameplay trailers I saw was Boo calling Donald Mike Wazowski because he only has one eye in that world as well.
Okay.
I was like, no, but I'm Mike Wazowski.
So it looks like Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be a lot of Pixar-influenced stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because we have, what, Big Hero 6, we have Toy Story, we have Monsters, Inc. There's
well,
a lot
Hero
of the
6 is in Pixar, though.
Oh, what? I thought it was.
No, that was just Disney Animation.
Oh.
And same with Tangled, that's also Disney Animation. It's just now all the Disney Animation
that's,
is
yeah,
not
it's,
sells,
that's
you know,
right. Princess and the Frog was their last traditionally animated movie, right? And so
yeah,
now
not
they do.
Exactly the best way to go out, but yeah, that was.
I like that movie. Come on. Tiana's one of my faves. I like Tiana because she wasn't just born into the princessdom.
Yeah.
She worked her way there.
I give it that. It's just the story's kind of meh.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I get it.
It was all right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it looks good. See, the problem is, like, for me, like, I never really played a lot of the Kingdom Hearts games. I played a little bit of one, and like, I'm so lost in what the story is right now.
Well, it blows me away that the story is intended for, I guess, children. I'm using my quotey fingers.
God, no, my children would never be able to follow this.
Yeah, right? I was like, maybe it's not really for kids. I guess maybe it would, but even adults have a hard time understanding it, so sometimes it's just not about the plot, but it's about, ooh, it's pretty, and ooh, I'm in Tron World, yay. You know, it's just kind of the little throwbacks to your youth. Although, I mean, I would go for some real deep cuts. Like, I want to see, like, Muppet Babies World. We have to dodge Nanny.
I'm still waiting.
And then
now,
Skeeter just disappears halfway
now,
through.
Now it's now with you know everything. We're gonna have Star Wars world and Avengers world. I mean, that's gonna be pretty amazing at some point.
Hmm. And you were talking before the show, maybe Bad Movie World would be a lot of fun.
Yes, right? I would love to see a whole new game. It's not necessarily Kingdom Hearts, but it's just like going through terrible movies. So instead of, you know, having the classics like, you know, I don't know, Cinderella and stuff, it's just like The Room or Mano's Hands of Fate.
Showgirls. Yes. Keep it an E for everyone rated game. That would be a really good time. The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah. Like Goofy's like, why am I wearing fishnets and heels?
Plan 9.
Yeah.
Eraserhead. I don't know.
That'd be fun. I don't know if that would be a Kingdom Hearts game, but maybe that's another game somebody could make someday.
Yeah, it could be
somebody did
game.
Make a game based on The Room, actually. There was some Newgrounds, one of those types of games.
Was it like a point-and-click adventure game?
Yeah, it was like one of those types of things. But it had like the Super Nintendo-looking graphics and stuff. So there was a game based on The Room, but it wasn't Kingdom Hearts style. It was more 90s PC game, I suppose.
Ah.
Yeah. So something else I guess we learned about Kingdom Hearts was that there is a new Utada Hikaru song. Well, we knew she was going to do one.
Yeah.
But now we got like more details on it, right?
Yeah, they actually have like clips of both the English and the Japanese versions of the song.
Well, I'm sure many of you ran out to find those clips as soon as it was announced they were out there. But just in case you haven't heard yet, here's the song in Japanese, which is called Chikai, which is like oath or vow. So that's
and I like the scene that they're showing in the trailer here, which I don't know the character's name because, like I said, I don't play a lot of these games. But he's there with Mickey, and he's like talking about how he's gonna leave his sword, you know, Keyblade behind, and Mickey's just like, "Huh? What?" I'm like not paying attention. What? like that? That's all the dialogue that Mickey has. Like, "Huh?
King Mickey?
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? It's like, are you fucking paying attention? You're standing right here. Are you not like listening to anything that I'm saying?"
Here's the English version. So it sounds a lot like, you know, her other works. It doesn't have that same kind of intensity of something like Simple and Clean, at least the Planet B remix or whatever that was that they used like in the opening of the game.
Yeah.
But certainly like the original Simple and Clean was a little bit more of a ballad. And then, you know, so her songs have been ballady for those games. So it'll be interesting to see, though, maybe if that song gets remixed and maybe they use that for an intense intro or whatever they choose to do. So, but Utada's sounding great. So
well, they have all those collections now on PlayStation 4, so I guess I got to get those.
Yeah, if you want to catch up, there's like an Uber Ultimate All the Things collection on PlayStation 4. And what I like that they do is that they take some of the side games and they just made them movies, basically. They just did a bunch of the cutscenes, they made them movies. I think it would be worth it before Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out to do like a movie that just catches you up on the freaking story. I don't know, maybe it'd have to be a mini series or something, or an entire Netflix binge season of 22 episodes or something. But
last time on Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, they honestly, there's enough story there, they could do it. But obviously that would take a lot of work. You know, it's not just as easy as recording all the cutscenes and putting it on television. I mean, if you want that, go to YouTube.
I'm
it's already
so
out
surprised,
there.
Though, that something that they would dedicate a lot of time to at, like, a D23 event still doesn't have, like, a big presence in Disneyland somewhere. You know, it's just, like, kind of, I don't know. Like,
no, it is surprising. Well, I think it's because at the end of the day, it's still Square Enix's thing, even though it has the Disney characters in it. It's more of, like, but in Japan, I know it's more, a little more mainstream, but it's not like you have a Sora Blacklight ride or anything like that. But I think you see some of the stuff for sale in the shops and things like that. Like I think I said it to this day, the one thing I absolutely regret was the one time I ever saw something Kingdom Hearts related at Disneyland, I didn't buy it. And that was that store at a California Adventure, the Off the Page, that has more of the art-based things. You can actually buy like art that's on the wall, and they have sculptures, and they had a Sora sculpture. And so at the time, it was a little bit out of my price range. But, you know, looking back, I'm like, oh, I should have
should have tried to make it work because, yeah, never seen anything Kingdom Hearts in the parks again since then.
So. Yeah, it's too bad.
Except kids dressing up as Sora. I did see that.
So I'm totally going to dig when people are going to be cosplaying, you know, Monsters, Inc. Sora. So that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com with some of the comments. Phantaz in chat says, I'd be down for a Kingdom Hearts movie. And Act F degrees, I'd be down for that. The Rob D says, Kingdom Hearts' big flaw is that it tried to make its own continuity. The villains of Kingdom Hearts should be Disney villains. They kind of are, but I get that there's a lot. It's more complicated than that. There's a lot going on. So, you know, because like the Organization 13 had nothing is not a thing in the Disney universe. But, like, you know, when you're first playing the game, it sure feels like, you know, Maleficent and Hades and all that is kind of... But, yeah, it did try to establish its own continuity and its own characters, but that was probably a little bit for Square Enix's benefit, too. So, and Bobby Blackwell says, I think they reference it more in Tokyo Disneyland. And also bringing up, this was done at D3 or D23 Japan. So Disney did acknowledge it over there. And to be fair, I seem to recall last year was when we got the announcement Toy Story would be in the game was at D23 America. So Disney hasn't completely ignored it. It just sometimes feels like Frozen gets a fuck of a lot more attention. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, Disney's grip on that movie. They need to let it go. Let it go. Tiger Claw says, if they did a Kingdom Hearts movie, you know it won't be exactly like the game. They would probably change things around to make it work for the average audience. I'm strangely okay with that because I feel when it comes to the Kingdom Hearts story, I may need it dumbed down for the average audience. So, anyway. So are you going to pick up Kingdom Hearts 3 when it comes out?
I mean, it looks interesting. The trailer is kind of like, it's like, ah, this looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it's just... I don't know. I'm not versed in Kingdom Hearts, unfortunately. I played the original game right when it first came out because I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. But
That was way back in 2002 now.
Right, yeah. I kind of just like, and I never really finished it. My sister is more into it than I was, but I never finished the original game, so I don't know.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat also following up, I do not believe the 2018 part of the trailer. I'm guessing it gets delayed to March or April 2019.
Right, and it's just more wishful thinking. It'd be nice.
I think Square's going to need a tentpole this holiday, and if it's not this, then it's going to be the Final Fantasy VII remake. And I would see this coming out before the Final Fantasy VII remake, although the Final Fantasy VII remake is supposed to be in episodes. But if they push it back because it's not done, then, you know, fine. I support that. I don't want them putting out a half-assed product. I'm going to try really hard to never be that guy again that gets pissed off at a delay ever since what happened to Mass Effect Andromeda. So, I mean, if they have to push it back for quality reasons, then fine. Let it get pushed back.
It would be nice if it was fourth quarter this year, but if it's not, you know, whatever.
There'll be plenty of other stuff to play. Whatever Nintendo's going to put out fourth quarter.
Oh, darn, I'll just have to spend more time in Red Dead Redemption 2. That will be so tragic.
Which got pushed back to fourth quarter, right?
Yes. Well, for now.
For now.
I mean, that game looks like it's almost done. Same with Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts, I mean, what they showed, they're like, yeah, it's work in progress. I'm like, it looks pretty complete to me.
Yeah. Well, they've been working on it, God, how long? A very long time. They've been working on that game a very long time. So I think we're all ready for it, but it's got to be done right. That's the important thing. Let's get into our gaming weeks. So usually at the top of the show, we like to talk about a little bit of our gaming weeks and how was your gaming week? What types of games have you been playing this week, Loki?
I wish I played new things, but it's been basically the same stuff. So a little bit of Stardew Valley. I did play a little bit more Pokemon this week.
Have you romanced anyone in Stardew Valley yet?
No, I haven't, but because like all the characters kind of irritate me. Like a lot of them do.
It's honestly fair.
Shane's back, or he's kicked his alcohol problem, so way to go, Shane.
Congrats.
But like I forgot to mention this last week, actually. So because I've gotten, like, you know me, I like to cheat in games, and so I of course am playing with a trainer just to, you know, stop some of the. Because you have, like, limited energy and stuff, and it's just a pain to have to keep running back to the house every, you know, few minutes just because you're out of energy.
I'm young and invincible. I have limitless energy.
Exactly. So with that, you know, I bumped all the relationships up to max and stuff. So the only downside to that, though, is that I get cutscenes all the fucking time. Like, every time I go near a house, it's like four cutscenes, or go into another place, it's like four more cutscenes. So finally, that's kind of died down a bit, but one of the cutscenes I got to when I went to the beach was one of the, I don't remember the guy's name, but he has like this like long blonde hair or something like that. Kind of looks like a Fabio type guy. He's a writer. Anyways, and so like he's like, hey, you want to go rowing on my boat? I'm like, okay. And so then like the dude tries like kissing me on there. I'm like, dude, what the hell? It's like fucking Dennis, because of the implication, mm-hmm. you know. You can't say no, because what are they going to do? They're going to dump you off the side of the boat, you know? So they have to say yes because of the implication. So it was just like, it's just weird, like all these characters trying to romance me. I'm like, dude, okay.
Well, maybe next time you'll set the boundaries with Fabio before
it's
you
like,
date.
Dude, Fabio, listen.
It ain't like
enough.
That.
Like, I understand you like living in your shack on the beach and writing. I don't fucking care. It's like, whatever. So... but no, it's a silly game, and actually reading up on it, there's actually a lot more to it. Like once I've finished some of the stuff, there's more like questing stuff in there that you can do. It's all right. So I've, been playing that a bit. And then of course I've been doing my routine of, Dance Dance Revolution every day. So it's been slowly getting easier to do stuff. I still can't do the things I used to be able to do. Like every now and then I'll try to, hey, let's play A on, you know, heavy and see how well we can do that. Nope, can't do that still, you know, or my kids, God bless them, will decide, hey, I'm going to pick this song. And so I'll just leave it on, you know, whatever. And they hit random and I didn't get a chance to, and so it's like I'm playing, you know, Orion 78, you know, the 2MB remix or whatever, Civilization remix. I'm like, dude, what the hell? And they're like playing on, you know, beginner. And they're like, okay, this is easy. And I'm like,
keeping you in the game. SG100 Matt in chat says, do you still remember the step charts for most of the songs?
No, because I used to play doubles. And so now I'm playing singles. And so I don't remember most of the step charts for the songs. Now I'm starting to recognize it more because I'm playing some of the same songs over and over. But I don't. I don't remember any of them. Like, Dynamite Rave, I even went and played basic on that. Just like I don't remember this anymore. So, it's all right. Yeah, so I've been doing that. And then, what else? Pretty much, I played a little bit of LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2, just on the grind, unlocking everything to 100% the game. But that's what it feels like right now. It's just a grind. It's kind of not really entertaining anymore. It wasn't really that much of an entertaining game to begin with. The earlier games are much better. And then a little bit of Ingress. Just normally when I'm playing Pokemon Go or whatever, it's both Ingress and Pokemon Go at the same time.
So. I've done that, yeah.
So that's what I did today. I was down at the Arcade Creek Park, which has like a ton of portals there. So I was able to do both and stock up on Pokeballs because I was getting low. Well, that's about it.
I feel like I've barely played any Ingress this week, actually.
But I just was throwing really long links to things. Whatever I had keys available, I'm like,
yellow.
Who are you gonna yell
if
at me?
If it throws, it goes.
Exactly. What are you gonna yell at me? I don't have the app on. I don't have notifications on. I don't care.
I honestly think in your part of town, garbage links are encouraged. I think over where you're at, so it's all good. Anyway, let's see, my gaming week. Well, then I'll piggyback off that. So even though I haven't been playing a lot of Ingress, I played a shit ton of Pokemon Go like yesterday. And that was because the reason why I was playing a lot of Pokemon Go was because I'm able to use my Bluetooth, you know, catching device to catch stuff. Because yesterday I had a friend from out of town who was visiting and he didn't know a lot about Sacramento because he's just recently moved here from back east. So we were going to the Capitol. We were going to Midtown. We were going to Old Town. We were going to the art museum. We walked like everywhere. I probably walked several miles yesterday. But the nice thing about having the Bluetooth is I was catching Pokemon like everywhere I went. And because they're doing that Gen 3 event right now, I'm catching nothing but the Gen 3 stuff, which, you know, Trapinch. There's a lot of those downtown because Capitol Park's the nest for Trapinch right now. And then, you know, just a variety of different stuff. So that's cool because I don't know what's going to happen when it goes back to, you know, Gen 1, Gen 2, and Gen 3, how much these newer Gen 3 things are going to show up because there's only so many limited spawn points. I have to admit, I really like this whole, like, one gen at a time type of thing, and I hope Niantic kind of does this stuff a little more often, and they should feel free to do it even with just Gen 1 and Gen 2, like, go back to old school. Don't do it forever. But just for a couple days.
Or even just mix up where stuff normally spawns. Like, you know, hey, let's put water. I like the water Pokemon event that they did.
Because yeah.
We don't really live near a lot of water. So it was nice to be able to, you know, catch Dratinis and all sorts of things everywhere.
Well, and I always thought one thing they could do, and they have a model for it from Ingress, is because Ingress divides the world into different cells. You know, so for example, Sacramento is in one cell. It's like a scoring cell in Ingress. And you start to move west, and somewhere between Sacramento and Davis, which, you know, a lot of people know from the university there, there's a line that separates. So Davis is in a different cell that it's shared with San Francisco. So my point with all that is that, you know, it would be cool if maybe monsters, because I'm sick of this, like, region-locked shit, as I think a lot of us are, where it's like, now there's a new one that's only in Africa. You know, and it's like,
oh, all right, let me hop on a plane.
Hop on a plane. You know, I understand the desire to do region exclusives. I understand that as a mobile game that needs to have years and years long longevity, they need to make some of these things really hard to catch. But at the same time, like, why not, you know, mix it up? I think the one they're doing the best is the Mongoose, Zangoose, and Seviper. Is that it? Where they were exclusive in some places for a little bit, and then they switched. And then during this event right now, they have the minus one that's usually in Asia. Little Pikachus that are plus and minus, Plusle and
yeah, Mian. I got the minus one.
Yeah, because that you weren't supposed to get that in Quoddy Fingers because that was exclusive to Asia. But during this Gen 3 event, they are having Minion everywhere. And I like stuff like that. Like, that makes it cool, and that gives you incentive to go out, like, every day and do stuff. And they still have four more generation of Pokemon to catch up on before they're current, you know, and then even after that, then they'll be Gen 8 at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I still feel like there's a lot of ways Niantic can kind of better divvy this up. But for the time being, I really like the Gen 3 exclusive event, and I hope they do more stuff like that in the future. So I talked a lot more about Pokemon Go than I planned to. Other stuff I've been playing is a lot of the same old, same old. Probably because of Pokemon Go, I was like, I should go find my copy of Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, and I'm going to play that again. So in my rush to clear out my file in Alpha Sapphire, I was like, oh, wait, but I have, like, legendaries that I got through codes or through the download thing. I don't want to get rid of those. I don't want to delete them off my file. So I'm going to transfer them into the Pokemon Bank. So I had to download the Pokemon Bank and get that up and running. So I did that. And then I was like, oh, but the Pokemon Bank. Oh, that's right. That's how you get the stuff from Pokemon Crystal or Silver. Well, and Crystal. And Pokemon Yellow and stuff on Virtual Console. So I was like, I want to go back and play Pokemon Yellow on Virtual Console so I can bring, like, Pikachu and shit into my new Alpha Sapphire game. And now it's here I go again, where I'm never going to have the attention span to just play one fucking Pokemon game from start to finish. I never do. I even, like, I you know, Shane's a good friend of mine and plays a lot of Pokemon, so I even sent him a picture of my save file in Alpha Sapphire where I have 6 badges, and I was like, Shane, I don't know if I should start over because I have 6 badges. I'm, like, this close to the end of the game. He's like, just start over. You'll catch up. So I guess I'm going to start over. We'll see. let's see. I'm looking for comments over in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. It looks like they're talking about DDR tournaments in the chat room. I guess there was a couple of those this weekend.
Yeah, there was overseas. The international one, I think.
Yeah.
And then they, like, debut a new song or something like that?
No, probably. I'm so out of the loop on that stuff. But you know what I did like was the what's the new name of the game? The Dance Rush. As some Dancing
yes,
Stage
Dance
Rush,
Rush yeah.
Remix, the third, Lupin. I don't whatever that game is called.
Dance Rush.
Dance. Well, no, it has a new name now. It
no,
has dance. No, it has Dance and Rush in it, but it's like Dancing
I thought that was just a specific version that was like because it was linked together.
Oh, is it?
I thought that's what it was. That's how I interpreted it.
I don't know. Well, whatever that game is, where now it's like the whole floor is, you know, like the what you dance on. That game looks really cool, and I want to check that out when it inevitably comes over
yes,
here.
Yes, and it'll be nice because by the time it eventually gets out over here, hopefully I'll be back in shape enough to where I can actually play it. Yay!
Yay, that's the spirit. as far as other games I've been playing, I'm still playing an unhealthy amount of Final Fantasy 14, but that game just got a patch a week ago, so there's like more things to do in that. I just did the new primal fight, the Jade Stoa, or what's the monster's name, Byakko. I did that for the first time, and that was cool. And then I've been playing Heroes of the Storm. I ended up getting a stim pack in one of my loot chests, which will double the amount of experience you earn. So it just makes you want to play more Heroes of the Storm. So I've been doing that. And I find that I'm really – my favorite character to play, I think, right now in that game is Lieutenant Morales, who's kind of a healer. But the other players really love you when you play Morales. And Morales is the one that has one of the skins that's totally Samus. They can't say it's Samus. They have to say it's Space Explorer or something Morales, which she's from fucking StarCraft. Of course she's a Space Explorer. But, you know, they have to do a wink and a nod that it's not really Samus, but it's an orange and yellow suit with the green vibe. Like, it's fucking Samus. Just not a name.
Not Samus.
Yeah, not dash Samus. All right. So yeah, that's been my gaming week. A lot more MMOs and Heroes of the Storm and a little bit of Pokemon. Some housekeeping. So follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook at Orange Lounge Radio. And no shows that we're canceling in the near future. Next week is President's Day weekend, which is a 3-day weekend for me, but I don't think it is for everybody.
Not for me.
Yeah. So, but we will be here on Sunday night. So I'm looking at maybe taking a quick trip, but we should be back by Sunday night in order to do the show. And maybe have some guests if it works out the way it's supposed to. Some of my pals in the Bay Area were supposed to go on a trip with me. So we'll see. I don't know. So we might have some guests next week. That would be fun. And then, what else? Oh, at the end of March, though, we will be missing a show, but I'll remind you guys about that as it gets closer, because I am going way out of town, in March. So, meanwhile, let's get into what else is going on in gaming. So, some more gaming news. Loki.
So, Twitch has, added some new policies for sexual content and harassment on its platform to try to clean things up, mainly because there's been quite the trend in what some people call titty streamers, where they basically are dressed very provocatively and kind of using that to get, you know, bits and other donations. Kind of, you know, oh, I'm going to bend over and stretch or do yoga or whatever the hell it is. Or, you know, playing my game with my top. I mean, that's fine. You can dress like that all you want. But you know what? There are...
If y'all are going to pay it, and they're not... I don't see the quote unquote problem with that, but I get that Twitch doesn't want their reputation to
right.
be that it, that is what they
there's
are.
There's a difference between it's just that it keeps getting pushed, I think, more
sure.
and more. Like, and who's going to argue? Well, you can't wear that. No one's going to make that argument, but until it keeps getting pushed further and further. So they now have, you know, a little bit more policy, including, you know, that attire. Is that you cannot wear an entire intended to be sexually suggestive. They barred.
Oh, darn it. That's what I was going to wear tonight.
They barred,
no fishnet top for me tonight.
Undergarments, intimate apparel, or exposing / focusing on male or female genitals, buttocks, or nipples.
Wait, I thought they banned a lot of this stuff a long time ago. I thought you weren't, like, there were a lot of dudes who streamed shirtless, and I thought you weren't supposed to do that anymore. Like, I thought they did that a long time ago.
That what was happening was that these streamers that were doing this were actually being, treated more kindly than, you know, by the Twitch staff than other streamers, because they were getting away with more of this stuff because, you know, they thought they could gain favor with them or some nonsense. But whatever, it makes sense. This is like, you know, this is a platform where I don't know if they have really age gating in this stuff. So, I mean, kids are going to be exposed to this. You know, we got to think of everybody, think of the children. Also, they were saying that, attire in gaming streams and most at-home streams and all profile/channel imagery should be appropriate for public street, mall, or restaurant. As a reminder, we will not tolerate using this policy as a basis to harass streamers on or off Twitch.
Sorry. Have you all been to Kentucky Fried Chicken? Sometimes, like, some of the things, I mean, I'll never forget, it was before going to Rocky Horror, which, yeah, it again is a whole lingerie clothing thing of its own. My pal Victoria from Shaking and Crying, when she lived up here, and we went to a KFC in South San Francisco, and we saw some choices in the outfit department there. Some real choices.
And then, of course, you know, along with that, they're saying that in addition to these, they also mention...
I'm sorry. I have to cut you off. Bobby Blackwell says, have you been to Walmart? Thank you. You're right. There's a whole website, thepeopleofwalmart.com. That's a mall. Isn't Walmart a mall?
It's not a mall. It's a shopping...
Yeah, but they have Subways and Vision Centers. It's a mall. Okay, sorry.
It's an
I won't cut you off again.
Anyways, then they're saying that we're also looking at Twitch list emotes, stream titles, camera angles, and as contextual elements as well. They'll be monitoring. So, you know, if you have a crotch cam, maybe not the best thing to be putting on Twitch. Of course, along with that, they're saying that with that, the camera angles, emotes, panels, attires, overlays, chat moderation, offering access to prohibited sexual content such as lewds on Twitch also remains prohibited. And basically saying if someone gets reported for breaking our community guidelines based on sexual content, we will take a holistic look at the channel.
So meaning
we're going to bookmark all of those channels.
I think that means that they have to take... They're really trying to figure out what's the intent. If your intent is to sell sex, they don't want that on Twitch.
Hey, don't get
me wrong. Your intent is to show off the game... And you just happen to be a very attractive person who wears very attractive clothing and maybe incidentally had a camera shot that you didn't realize was pointed at your chest or at your crotch or something, then, they're not gonna question that.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I watched a lot of Twitch during – I had a thing for work that we were studying esports and streaming and Twitch and stuff like that. So we watched a lot of Twitch streams and stuff, and we did encounter quite a few Twitch streamers that, they're women and they're using their looks to, get more people interested in the channel. And that's not a terrible thing, but there are some people that take that too far and to the point where – they know that's bringing people in, getting people to donate, and it's kind of like, okay, where are you across the line between this being, Twitch and Chatterbait, or, you have to draw the line somewhere.
I think that's what it is. And I see in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Harry Chestman, who I guess is streaming in his fishnet top right now, says, Twitch is for gaming. Twitch is blurring a little bit. I mean, Twitch is for cooking and competitive eating, and Twitch is for IRL streams. But I get it. Like, Twitch is – I think it would be more accurate to say Twitch is not for sex. And so that's why Twitch is trying to have to draw a line here.
Right.
Yeah. So why – and so if your intent is to be a titty streamer or, and there's dudes that do the same, go to some of the – like gay-oriented or even straight-oriented. There's enough women that watch Twitch. There's some dudes out there that are selling it just the same, although it may not be, they don't have titties in the same way. They sit there shirtless or they do other stuff.
No one wants to see me sit shirtless and play a game.
No.
Even though that may be a way I do play games a lot, but that's no one's going to want to watch
that. That's a private thing. When the cameras aren't on, when I'm not doing OLR or podcasts, or I'm probably on the couch without pants playing a particular game, And I will say this: I do remember doing one live stream where I wasn't wearing pants; I was wearing a blanket over my legs, but you can't see that part. And I made sure the whole time I kept reminding myself, don't stand up to get to the restroom or anything like that. Like, if you do, turn the camera off to something like that. But you can only see.
And now Rob's on stream fail. So.
Yeah, right? No, I don't. No, that wouldn't. Well, I mean, I'd be wearing something so you wouldn't see everything. But you know what I mean. You fill in the blanks. But that's actually a trick that they use in regular television, too. At least, I don't think it works as well in the age of HD. But I know back in the day when I interned for a TV station, like the weatherman, when he would do his report and stuff, he was wearing a nice suit top and all that stuff and tie and stuff and then jeans because you didn't see anything below the waist. So you couldn't tell that he wasn't wearing slacks or a full suit outfit or nice shoes. It was like they had a nice top and then jeans and sneakers.
I can't trust that man. He doesn't have formal pants on. He doesn't know anything about weather.
But I think now in this day and age, doesn't matter.
It's kind of like the thing, though. Like, that's a lot, pretty common to have. Wear kind of like a formal top and jeans, and it's...
Yeah, but on the nightly news, you're supposed to look totally formal. I don't, for whatever reason, that's how it's supposed to look. On the nightly news, anyway, if you're on one of those, like, talk shows, You know, Ellen doesn't really dress up for her show. She doesn't have to. So just depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what about I thought there were other Twitch guidelines about, like, if you got reported, they were going to look at some of the things. Because I know this was the really controversial thing. They were going to look at some of the things you weren't necessarily just doing on your channel. That they were going to look at what you were doing on your social media and what you were going to be doing, like, outside of that. Because, and I think the intent is that, like, if you are bullying people on social media or you're being a real asshole outside of Twitch, if you're an affiliate or partner, you're still kind of representing Twitch.
They said that they are not monitoring other platforms. It says it means when filing a report, users can provide documentation that illustrates harassment. We will not be monitoring those platforms. So yeah, if they're filing a report, they can include stuff from other platforms. So I guess, I don't know.
Looking in chat at live.vognetwork.com, the Rob D says it very much sounds like they're trying to avoid specifics. I kind of agree. Like, I really do think they're trying to keep it vague. From a legal perspective, they probably kind of have to, especially if somebody gets really mad. Somebody who does make a lot of money suddenly gets shut down by Twitch. I'd imagine there's going to be a little bit of pushback there. Oh. But look at what's going on right now with that guy. I don't even remember his name, and I don't even want to say
Logan
it.
Paul.
No, God, bleh, bleh. But the guy who went to the forest, and we all know that was terrible what he did there. But now, like in the past week, YouTube is like pretty much they haven't banned him, but they kind of kicked him off the ad network, right?
Right? Right?
Yeah, he fucking like animal cruelty on a mouse or something.
He tased a dead rat, and he gave mouth. I heard he gave mouth to mouth to a fish or something like that.
I cannot.
He's a douchebag. What are you gonna say?
I can't fucking believe. After what he went through in Japan and with all that, and he comes out, this boo-hoo, I should have learned my lesson. I cannot believe, after all that, he thought it would be a good idea or a funny idea to fucking tase a rat.
Here's why. Because that controversy got him more followers. He ended up in the positive on the whole thing with that. And he probably, I mean, he's making money off YouTube, but if you watch any of his videos, and I don't. I watch other people that talk about his videos. He just pimps out merchandise. They're selling merchandise, and that's where they're making their money, is off merchandise. He just bought a $7 million mansion, you know, and so he's doing well off, and he figured any controversy gets him more views because the people that follow him don't give a shit. It's the people that are, you know, in an outrage aren't watching him in the first place.
I don't want to hear stop stupid people from being famous ever again at the Kardashians when there's guys like this in the world.
The Kardashians are nothing. I mean, look at how bad.
At least the Kardashians know how to make a movie.
It's like you look at like what the Kardashians do, and it's not as irritating as fucking Logan Paul. It's just, and their whole family is like that. Like, their dad came out defending Logan Paul, and he's a douchebag as well. Like, he was in one of their videos. He was making out with some, like, teenage girl or something like that. It was super Yeah, super cringy. It's terrible. But, like, the whole family is like that. And it just, the sooner they, like, get wiped off of, you know, the internet, the better.
Bobby just reminds me of an important fact here. Yet YouTube kicked us off their network. Well, you know, to be fair, Bobby, we're producing a ton of videos for, you know, Vogue, but I totally get the point. Like, it does feel like kind of like a whole, like, how the fuck are guys like that successful and so many other hard
And then on top of that, so, like, okay, so the whole Logan Paul thing, he was basically taking a break from YouTube for a while because they let the heat die down or whatever. So, by accident, YouTube somehow sends out notifications to people that aren't even subscribed to his channel or following him that, hey, Logan Paul's back. Go check out his videos. And then people are like, what the fuck is this shit? And they're all, oh, yeah, sorry. It was a setting. It was a glitch setting thing.
Why is YouTube playing into that hype?
I don't know. Because it makes them money, I guess. They're making money off of it because of the views and ads.
I am getting to this point where I'm more and more like, fuck YouTube with a capital F and a capital Y. I just want to like strip all my videos off their site. I was looking at trying to put Shaking and Crying up on YouTube so that more people could find it to download it. And I'm getting to this point where I'm like, No. I mean, I'm just going to tell those other people they need to find a better other way and stop supporting YouTube, because YouTube is so much garbage all over the place. So much. And it's not even just like this Logan Paul, but clearly when they send out emails like this, it's like, Logan Paul's back. Like, you know, that just shows they're working with him and they want. It is seriously.
And the hard part about this is you have this douchebag that's causing all these site-wide changes because of the shit he's doing, and it's affecting other YouTubers that are doing this stuff. Like, there'll be guys, there was a guy that did an experiment just for sillies. He took his pee, I guess, and he let it like dry out and got the nitrates from it and made black powder from it, which it took like, I think, like 18 months or something to do that. And he put a video on there, but, oh, because he's making explosives, you know, that's a strike against him or something. It was just like a science thing. It's not like anyone would actually use that to create a bomb. I'm going to store all my pee from, like, several years and make bombs out of that. It's silly.
We need a decent competitor to YouTube. We really do. And the Rob D points out a good point, is that Twitch isn't trying to do the same thing, and Daily Motion and Vimeo don't cut it. Twitch is inching closer and closer that direction, though, because they are trying to do more like with the videos on demand, but they have to just have a premiere live on your channel or something, you know. But I mean, as a primarily gaming content creator, I wouldn't have a hard time moving all my stuff over to Twitch. But I would wonder, how is Twitch going to police all this stuff? I mean, it sounds like it's requiring more of their moderation team and their moderation.
They're
going
to do the A word, algorithms.
I sure as fuck hope not. I really, because that's where it's all going to break down. That's where it's all going to break down. Let's see. ActDeft in chat brings up some good points. I use YouTube for my podcast. I depend on YouTube to make it work. But people being turned off on YouTube like Rob is going to hurt our podcast in the long run. Good thing we're now on iTunes and all, but still. And I would agree with that. That's why you want to kind of put your show as many places as possible. And that's why I was looking to put Shaking and Crying, the new show, over on YouTube, because I was like, okay, well, maybe there is an audience there, you know, that can, even though we don't really do video, at least that could have the audio with maybe like a waveform in the background or something. But the more YouTube does this shit, the more I'm like, well, maybe not. Maybe not. We did. Shaking and Crying is the first show though that I've had that's on iHeartRadio. So that is, you know, I was like, where are all the podcast apps? So we're on iHeartRadio with that. So I might put this show on there too. I want to see how it works with Shaking and Crying first before I go that length. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, because you know they are tied to corporate radio, which is interesting. But that can be for better or for worse. Let's see. Let's move on, I guess. We'll move on to some more news. Let's talk about Space Channel 5. This is a series that's been dormant for a while that I love this series, and it sounds like it may be coming back in a way in VR. It was recently announced at the Nico Nico Tokagi Festival this past week that Space Channel 5 VR Arakata Dancing Show is going to be demoed there, and that the game will be seeing a release in spring of 2018 for the HTC Vive. Now, a little while ago, we had talked about a Space Channel 5 thing in VR. That was called Uki Uki Viewing Show, and that's where you threw confetti and helped Ooh La La to improve the viewership counts. But this new game will be, you're going to dance and do the same poses. I suppose it's a little more similar to what you were doing on the Dreamcast, where you were doing it in, you know, up, left, chew, and you probably have to do, like, you know, that type of thing with actual motion, since it's going to be in VR. So I'm here for that, because I love Space Channel 5, so I'm just excited they're doing a new game in the series. I'm a little surprised it's only Vive and they're not talking PlayStation 4, you know, which is usually where I see a lot of gamey stuff, you know, that I remember from consoles and up. But okay, I mean,
maybe it's just the motion control stuff.
Yeah, it could be because you're not required to have a move stuff on, or no. A lot of people do, though.
Yeah.
Can you have
pretty,
a game?
You kind of have to.
Okay. You can have a game that requires the move stuff, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah. What was that? Was there a noise in the background, or was it just me?
I think it was
just you. Maybe it was his website. I don't know. All right. Anyway, maybe Mr. Smoosh knocked something over. I don't know. All right. Well, anyway. So Space Channel 5, in VR, I would be very excited to play that. I still need to get something that does VR already, besides just the little cell phone VR. Maybe over the summer. Maybe with a tax refund. Who knows?
They have some pretty good Switch or PlayStation VR bundles.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, the chatters heard that noise too. I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what that was. I think the website I was on might have had one of those autoplay videos or something. So sorry about that. All right. Well, moving on.
All right. So Google is looking to possibly get into the video game streaming business. So they've got a company that they are working on a service called Yeti, which allow people to stream games to them online. And I guess it allows you to avoid having, you know, a console or a high-end computer or something like that. So kind of like all those other streaming services that they had out there for a while, like PlayStation Now and stuff. They have Phil Harrison hired on now. You may remember him from such companies as Microsoft and Sony. And now they're working on possibly this service. They haven't really said what the pricing is going to be or what the details are on this yet. Still kind of early, but it is something that's being worked on. So I guess we'll have to see what happens with this. It'd be cool, though, like if they're saying that, like, you know, could work with like Chromecast or something like that. You know, that'd be neat to see how that works out. I'm not really turned on to the idea of like paying, you know, subscription service to like something like that where you can play all these different games, because I have a library of Steam games with like 500 some games that I can play and probably all very entertaining. And same on my PlayStation, and I just don't do that. So unless you can like get me something, it would be hard for me to want to do something like that.
Yeah, I kind of feel like nothing has really hit that level of Game Tap back in the day, which was like game streaming in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't. I don't think it really streamed per se. It was like you're kind of downloading a copy of the game temporarily, but you know, it was that whole like rich library on demand. But GameTap was really good at having a rich library of retro stuff too. So I don't know. I guess it would really depend on what the game offerings look like. But I find that also playing a lot of PC stuff on my TV just doesn't, like, I don't know. The Steam Box, I'm not getting as much use out of that as I thought I would when I first bought it. I thought I would use it a lot to play stuff on the TV.
Oh, and the Steam Link?
Steam Link. Sorry, not Steam Box. Steam Box is the computer. Steam Link. I rarely use Steam Link. But I know other people that use it a lot, so maybe that's just...
Still haven't hooked mine up. I need to do that.
Yeah, you should do that. Test it out.
Well, it's because like, you need to have your computer on, right, to do it. So I have my laptop on. It would just be kind of silly. It's like, well, I can play my laptop, which is right in front of me, or I can play my TV that's a little bit more in front of me. It's like, I don't know. I should try it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It depends on what's in the library. That's what it's really going to boil down to. And if there's, you know, a really rich retro library, you know, that was something that GameTap did very well that I didn't mind paying for. Especially another thing that I think GameTap did well back in the day was the leaderboards and some of that stuff that they did. I think if, you know, a game streaming service can incorporate more of that, that'll be really cool.
You know what you want to bring people back with if you want to do something? 1 versus 100.
Oh, don't get me on that rant again. Man, why did Xbox ever have to get that? Well, now everybody's crazy about HQ.
What's HQ?
It's that phone app, which is like the live game show that's like, it's 10 or 15 questions. And if you answer them all, you win real money. Like, you win a share of the pot. They just started one at 6 o'clock. That was because I was getting all the notifications. But they do them at 6 o'clock every night. So, obviously, when OLR is going on, we start
like
at 6
like in the
o'clock.
Middle of my drive.
Well, no, it's in the middle of the show. At nights when you're commuting home.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of your drive. You got it. So... But during the weekdays, they do them at noon and 6, I think, for our time. I realize East Coast is different hours, but it's noon and 6 for us. But I think tonight they were giving away $15,000 or something like that, but it's split between all the winners. So if, you know, 100 people win, they're really only winning $150 each. But still...
That's still $150 you didn't have. Yeah.
For what's essentially a free app that I don't even think is running ads still. I think all of the money that's funding that app, it came from investment money. I mean, they probably could start selling ads and make a decent, because they've got like, I haven't played it in a while, but like there was like at least 80,000 people in each game when I would go check it out. But it's one of those games where like the first few questions are easy, but then they get really fucking hard. So that's why most people don't make it to the end. And you only have, like, as he reads the question, when he starts reading the question, you have like 10 seconds to answer. So you can't Google it. Like, if you think you can sit there and Google it, you're not going to have enough time to do it. I've tried. You don't have enough time to do it.
Voice search.
It's still not going to work because usually by the time he's done reading the question, you have like 3 seconds left, and that's not enough time to wait for the search results.
Read is it multiple results. Choice? You have to type it in.
It is A, B, or C, or D. I think there's 4 answers.
It's
harder than you'd think. Bobby Blackwolf says HQ Trivia equals 1 versus 100. They use the same concepts, live host, etc. Yeah, HQ's probably the closest thing. I just don't care for HQ. It's a really basic-ass trivia show. It's nothing but 4-question multiple choice. And it's like for me, it's been very buggy. The video gets really shitty. I mean, I haven't played it in a while, and I know they've done a lot of patches, so maybe it's better now. But in my experience with it, it was just – it was like a lot of frame skips, a lot of like missing stuff. It just – it kind of was clunky. Maybe that's better now. I don't know. But there was a certain flair that 1 versus 100 had on Xbox 360 that I just liked so much better. So anyway, thanks for getting me on that rant again about how much I miss the Xbox game shows.
I shouldn't bring up Classic Game Room then, should I?
No, let's not. Let's not do that. Let's do another story instead.
All right. So there was a guy that created a mod for The Division that was used for doing like kind of cinematic screenshots, I guess. So the modder, he put out this thing. It was a set of tools called Cinematic Tools. And I believe that it allows you to kind of do like a free cam and like move stuff around. But apparently I think it used like Cheat Engine as well to kind of do this. And because of that, Ubisoft detected that he was doing this and basically banned him for life from the game. And what's ironic though is there was like an update. Actually some Ubisoft, you know... let's see here. We had a creative director, Julian Gritty. Looks like he reached out to him saying, hey, yeah, I love your stuff and your work. I'd like to see more of it. You know, he's going to look into the whole situation. Because I guess he was tweeting, you know, Ubisoft these like pictures that are really amazing.
Yeah, no, I don't even play the game. And I was looking at those pictures when, you know, I was looking at the news for this week. I was looking at those pictures and... man, they're beautiful. Like if that and that's the direction that video games are moving into, looking more and more like, although of course that takes a lot more art and all that stuff, but man,
I can see maybe like a happy medium where they like reverse his ban and maybe work with him to like build a like cinematic mode or something into the game.
Well, yeah, it also seems to me that algorithms probably detected what he was doing and ended up banning him, which, you know, technically he probably did, you know, but Ubisoft should try to work with this guy, I think. There's exceptions to every rule, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's talk about Ages of Mayhem, which was a game that you kind of skipped, right, Loki?
Yes, totally skipped.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of people skipped it because I don't think this game did as well as they were hoping for being a, you know, Saints Row spinoff game.
Well, that's my problem, is a Saints Row spinoff game.
You wanted it to be its own thing.
Well, it was its own thing at one time. Like, the very beginning, when the very first trailer they announced it, it was just its own game, and they're like kind of hinted a little bit that it might be in the same universe as Saints Row, and then by the time we get to the end of it, they have fucking Johnny Gat in there, and like they're putting like Pierce and fucking just like Kinsey, all the fucking people from like Saints Row practically in there again. And it's like, dude, what the hell? You couldn't make this game stand on its own. You just had to borrow from Saints Row and then make it some underwhelming piece of shit.
Well, it may be getting another life in a board game form, of all things. And the way people found this was through Academy Games' website, which they do a lot of, I guess, more historical-based type of games. For example, they have a game called Freedom, the Underground Railroad, which is about the Underground Railroad. They have a game called Conflict of Heroes, which is about World War II. But apparently, there's a Kickstarter campaign link for a game called Agents of Mayhem, Pride of Babylon. It's a 3D tabletop game based on the game. And it is a real Kickstarter campaign. You can go check that out. It's on Kickstarter.com, and it's already met their goal 4 times over. So apparently there were enough fans of Agents of Mayhem, or at least board games, where this thing got funded. You can still get in on it. There's 15 days left to back it. Depending on how you feel about Kickstarters, I don't always like to talk about Kickstarters on this show anymore because I realize few of them come to full fruition. However, this does seem to be a company that has kind of proven themselves through these other historical-based games, and they probably have other stuff too. I'm just not as up to speed on board games as other people are. But anyway, so through the Agents of Mayhem Pride of Babylon game, it's a board game for 2 to 4 players. It's on a module 3D board that is fully destructible. That sounds like fun. Like maybe you get to build things up and then destroy them. That's kind of fun. That's a little neat little concept.
Knock it over.
Yeah. It's kind of...
Aren't all board games fully destructible?
Wait, when you're losing Monopoly, fuck this, and you flip it over and it's destructed. Although, did you hear about the Monopoly that's like the cheater's Monopoly?
No.
Because you know how like there's a million versions of Monopoly, right? You could get like Golden Girls Monopoly. You could get like Scooby-Doo Monopoly. They just...
Like Cheaters as in the show?
No. Cheaters.
Oh.
Oh, not the show. Not even Cheaters the show.
That would be hilarious.
That would be great. I don't like this community chest. Next. But it's none of those dating shows. It's like you are encouraged to steal money from the bank and do things that people do in regular Monopoly that try not to get caught. Like they steal money from the bank, or they, you know, will draw extra cards or try to steal a property. Haven't you known somebody who's tried to cheat at Monopoly?
No.
I totally know, yeah. Anyway, I got a little bit distracted from the topic at hand. So Agents of Mayhem, board game. But it looks like you're going to be able to like build multi-level buildings that can be destroyed. And that part's kind of cool, actually. I got to say, that sounds kind of fun. You can either play Legion or Mayhem in the game. And yeah, so folks, I'm sure, are getting in on that. So very cool. And it sounds like $90 is the minimum pledge for a reward. And that will get you the 3D board game.
No thanks.
And an expansion and so on. So neat.
Yeah, I'll play the video game when it comes in one of those Humble Bundles.
Or when it's inevitably on PlayStation Plus.
Oh, it's going to be marked down. Like, they marked down all the Saints Row games to, like, dirt cheap.
It only took 4 years for Knack to come to PlayStation Plus. It's just a matter of time, Loki.
It's just waiting game.
That's right.
Hey, I got Saints Row. Well, no, I bought Saints Row on console because I got the bundle with that and Johnny Gat Out of Hell.
Bob Coffey in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, when's RuPaul's Drag Race Monopoly? Hey, wait. I'm sure there's going to be something where it's like, go directly to jail. You better sissy that walk.
You know, it's still in review right now to be a Lego set.
Yeah, so the Lego set might happen. That's going to be awesome if it does. But I think there's no way it's going to lose to that Christmas Story house. And that Christmas Story house is going to be the winner.
No, you don't understand. It's not a voting thing. Like, they're not picking one out of there. They look at all of them. And they approve multiples.
Out of each group of eight, only one ever got approved.
No.
Oh, I thought that's
the case at all.
Oh.
So it's whatever ones they think that they can work into a set and get the licensing and everything for. So it could very well do it.
Well, if there's a Lego thing out there, fucking do it. Do the drag racing. They have – and y'all know how I feel about the pop vinyl figures. You know, and here's the thing. I'm really not trying to hate on the pop vinyl thing. I get why they're really popular. I get why people collect them, but they're everywhere.
You go
to conventions, it's every other booth. You go to the mall, it's every other store.
Every store has them.
But despite what I'm saying about all that, look over there. I got RuPaul, Alaska, and Trixie pop vinyls that I found at a Hot Topic when I went to the DDR thing in the Bay Area, because our malls didn't have them, but that mall did. So I was like, you know, and I dropped like $45 on those fucking dolls. But my love
probably
for
find more of them. I bet they've got them stocked down in San Francisco.
Those are the only three for Drag Race that are out now. But I'm sure there'll be more. It blows my mind. There's not a Bianca Del Rio doll, but maybe they just couldn't get the rights for it. And you know, I don't know.
Maybe they drag it out and make sure they sell all of them.
Maybe that could be part of it too. So we'll see. Anyway, let's move on. You got a story about Fortnite, right?
Yeah, so Fortnite Battle Royale has been pretty popular, especially that portion, at least is free to play. So now they've hit a new record. Apparently 3.4 million concurrent players at one time. And so the previous record was held by PlayerUnknown's Battleground at 3.2 million. But now they have smashed that record, and it's only going to go up from here, right? So... yeah, pretty awesome that they're doing well. I mean, those Battle Royale games are definitely popular, so I'm sure we'll see a lot more of that. I heard that they're talking about that there's going to be a Battle Royale type game in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, I think a lot of games are looking at doing a mode like that now.
So it's...
Meanwhile, the creators of PUBG are coming out saying, and you have us to thank. I made you, and I can break you just as easily.
Or H1Z1, King of the Kill, had that fucking first.
You missed the joke, because PUBG was
PUBG
a little,
is
little salty at this whole thing to begin with.
But... wasn't it like Capcom and do something like that? Or you know, I don't know.
Capcom has sold oodles and oodles of Monster Hunter World. They have nothing to be upset about right now. Like, Capcom has no reason to complain, at least this week.
I just, like, the PUBG guys, like, I'm sorry that your game is not the most popular game anymore. Darn, you'll just have to settle to be the second most popular game in the world. It's like, I feel so terrible for you.
Minecraft couldn't be number one forever. No game's going to be number
one
forever.
Minecraft's not number one, but it's got fucking feet, so make your game have feet. Make people want to keep coming back and playing. Yeah. Give it long legs.
All right. Let's move on. Other big games that have cooled down a little bit.
All right. And then let's see here. So other stuff, we can talk about, you know, one of the not very popular games, and that being, you know, Pokemon Go. No one plays that anymore. But Pokemon Go, they have there's a rumor that there's going to be some story-based quests coming soon, thanks to data miners who have taken apart the latest version of the game to see that. So with that, they have apparently there's going to be both short and long-term goals with these. They're going to include different characters or from the franchise, including like Professor Willow. They're saying that according, I guess, the website Silk Road, these characters are going to be given animations and facial expressions and stuff like that, so you'll be able to see them emote and stuff. And then also they're noting that they're going to basically different, I guess, indicators about the quest and stuff. And then of course the actual patch notes they're talking about, you know, that they'll let trainers you'll be able to search your Pokemon collection using like terms like shiny. So if you want to look at all your shinies, you can do that. Then improved in-game news feature, which I swear to fucking God, I've been playing like today. I swiped it away the first time. It's like, hey, did you know there's Pokemon from Gen 3? And I'm like, fucking, I'm trying to play this game. This like pop-up is getting in my way.
Yeah. I mean, it looks a lot better, but it's, yeah, I get alerts all the time from it too. So,
like, dude,
whatever.
No shit. When you think that's
kind of rolling my
eyes.
Is that
where all these Gen 3 Pokemon are coming from? I don't need to know that.
Well, I think the story mode could be really cool. I think it's something a little different, so it's not just, you know, catch all the nests.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's
going to
be like, you know, the missions that they do in Ingress. I mean, that wouldn't be bad.
Oh, God, I'd love that. Like, where you get the little mission badges. That's, like, the best thing at Ingress right now.
Yeah,
for me.
That'd be kind
of
cool.
I'm so bored of the fielding game. It's just, I like doing the missions.
Like, maybe it could be, like, they could have, instead of can't capture anything, I doubt they'd have you capture a gym, because that takes a long time. I, like, did that during, I was watching my kid do gymnastics or whatever, and, like, I sat there hacking away at their gym, and it's just, it takes so long.
For those that don't know missions in Ingress, and what I'm referring to is that in Ingress, you can, like, you know, you'll go to places and you can hack, like, they are user created and they're in the game once they're approved by the moderation board or whatever. And it's like you hack these six portals in a park and you'll get a permanent badge on your profile that shows you completed this mission. And, you know, so it's just a nice way to show that you visited this park. For example, and some of them have like banners. So instead of just one mission, it's like 18 missions. But when you put them all together, it does a nice little banner on your profile. So for example, when I was in Atlanta for Dragon Con last year, I did an 18-part Ingress mission that took you around the hotels and around that part of Atlanta. And now I have a permanent copy of the old carpet at the hotel, the infamous, you know, carpet on my profile. So that's really cool because they actually took that carpet out last year. So, but it's really funny that now that's on, you know,
yeah,
my profile in Ingress.
That'd be kind of cool if they did something like that. I mean, I guess they could have like be within distance of this portal or not portal, Pokestop, and catch a Pokemon or something like that, or I don't know. But yeah, what the cool things with Ingress missions too, it's like aside from just like, you know, hack this, destroy this, upgrade this or whatever, they also have walk to this spot and answer this trivia question, you know.
Yeah, those can be cool. They can also be annoying when the source of the question is gone. Like, I did a mission in Seattle. It was when they were newer, so you didn't have a lot of the multi-part stuff yet. I did one in Seattle at the Pacific Science Center there, and I had to hack, like, 40 portals, I swear. And then finally, I got to, like, the last one. It had a trivia question. the board with the trivia question was gone. I could not answer the trivia question. I could not finish the mission. I was so irritated. So when it works, it's great. But when it doesn't work, it's fucking annoying. So, yeah. Anyway. Let's move on. And one more story for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week. And this has to do with Crash Bandicoot. And, of course, Crash Bandicoot had the Insane Trilogy, which did pretty well on PlayStation. I don't know if you guys know, but it did pretty well over on the PlayStation. Apparently, there was an article that came out on the, Licensing Source Book Europe. Apparently mentioned that there's going to be an Insane Trilogy Switch port. Was mentioned in the article. And that also a new entry in the franchise was going to be coming out next year. Well, that would make sense that if the trilogy did so well, they're probably going to revisit this franchise at some point. But the trilogy coming to the Switch? Huh. Well, the article was edited to remove all the mentions of those details. Could this be something we hear about at E3 or maybe a little sooner? I don't know. But that's very interesting that... Crash Bandicoot was mentioned for the Switch because I think most of us think of that as very like Sony related property, even though it's an Activision.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. They had Crash games, I think, on the Wii.
Did they? I don't remember.
I want to say that maybe the racing game was on the Wii.
Oh, you might be right. Or the 3DS, I feel like, had something.
Something, yeah. The DS or 3DS had something.
All right. Well, it's time for us to get to the classic game of the week. We're going to take a trip down memory lane to a time when we were all playing Crash Bandicoot for the first time. And we are going to be joined by Dark Soccer at this point in the show. So let's try to get her on the line here. And she's going to take us on a trip down memory lane to find a classic game that we're going to look back on this week. As she's going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she wants to talk about tonight. And we are calling the actual phone. And I think we have her there. You there, Jamie?
Yes. I forgot that I changed your ringtone.
Well, but we're calling from the computer. I'm not calling from my cell phone.
Yeah, but it still comes through. I mean, I did not your ringtone, but my ringtone in general. My new default ringtone is the Dark World theme from Link to the Past. And it used to be the Doctor Who theme.
Oh, okay. So you didn't realize there was a phone call coming through at first.
No, I knew. I heard it, and I looked at it. I'm like, what? Because my brain's all addled because... I had an accident.
Well, I hope you're feeling better. Miss you tonight, but I understand. So, you know, so if you're not okay to drive, then don't drive. But you want to get
to... Yeah, I wasn't okay to walk.
Well, feel better. Are you okay to do the classic game of the week?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then let's get to it. What is the classic game of the week, Darsagra?
It is Initial D Arcade Stage.
Good choice. I'm going to play some of the music loud here at first so people can hear the awesome Eurobeat in this game. But then let me take it way down so that you can talk over it.
All right. Well, the game is Initial D Arcade Stage, which has spawned many other games. And I'm half talking about the first game and half talking about the whole series. So the first game... came out, and you know, I had the date on here a moment ago. I think it was 2002. Maybe I'm wrong. No, I take that back. 2001 in Japan and 2002 in the English version. So, you know, basically it was based off the manga and anime, which is basically all street racing and drifting and cars. Ooh. And cars that kind of exist. Ooh. So anyway, you have different types of modes to play through. It's all, you know, one-on-one racing. And there are some interesting things about the arcade versions themselves. So basically, the arcade stage, which we only just got it out over here as just Initial D, and then they started putting out the version numbers and all that later. But you use, you can save your progress with a magnetic card system, and you can save your customized card and your progress, or you lose your progress. But with those cards, you have to play only on an Initial D cabinet with the same version, and you have to renew every 50 plays, so that way they, you know, can get their money. Yay! And of course, they're not backwards compatible, like a version 2 card cannot be used on a version 1 machine. And if you upgrade it on another machine, it's a permanent upgrade. So that's how the card thing works. As far as the games in the series, there was Arcade Stage and then Version 2, Version 3, Arcade Stage 4, Arcade Stage 5, and those were all the arcade ones. And then there were three home versions. There was Initial D Special Stage for PlayStation 2, which I have it. Initial D Street Stage for PSP, which I don't have it. And Initial D Extreme Stage for PS3, which we have it, because hubby is kind of obsessed. So as far as the different modes for the first one, I mean, first of all, the cabinets themselves, they look like standard racing cabinets. But they play all the Eurobeat, and you get to pick which song you start off with, which was pretty much, for me, it was always Heartbeat, because I love that song. So as far as the first version, though, you had three different modes. You have Legend of the Streets, which is your main story mode, where you go against different opponents who are in the manga or in the anime, and you have to go against them. And then there's Time Attack, which is basically racing against other players, at the current machine or across the internet, if you rank that way based on your time. And then Battle Mode, which is, I guess, just the one-on-one race. You had four different courses. You had Myogi, you had Usui, you had Akina, and you had Hapogahara. Which the cool thing about this is that it actually has like two different versions of each track. So for Myogi and Usui, you had clockwise and counterclockwise. For Akina, you had, since it's a mountain drive, it's downhill or uphill. And then for Hapogahara, you had inbound and outbound. So you actually had technically eight different ways you could race. And then later versions, if I remember right, like brought in like time of day and different weather conditions. Like version 3, which was the 2003 one that came out, had different tracks like Irohazuka, which was one of the expert modes, the new expert one. You had Akina Snow, Shomaru, and Chisaka. So you had a bunch of different ones.
I just want to jump in real quick because the chat room is lighting up saying the Initial D went up to, they actually are past Initial D 8. I guess they did a game called Initial D 0, which is kind of like the ninth game, but there's more than five. They're up to like 9.
Yeah, they're up to Arcade Stage 0, and then there was Special Stage, Street Stage, and Extreme Stage. And there was also 6 was Stage 6 AA, and 7 was AAX. I'm sorry, I was going between two different lists of the games. So the one I had hadn't been updated in a while, but I know that all of them exist. In fact, Stage Zero is actually pretty neat, and that was on the Sega New 2 arcade board. It came out just last year in March, and it has a six-speed gear shift, like the ones in One Gun Midnight Maximum Tune. So pretty good. But as far as, though, back to the earlier ones, because the earlier are in the classics, because all up until we hit 2007, they all had great, music. It was all, Eurobeat, although the newer games, of course, have some other music. In fact, Arcade Stage Zero brought in some rock from Backdraft Smith's The Hug Me, The Valve, Gecko Green, it also reduced the vehicles back to the originals. So, but the games, I've never seen them not busy. Even some of the older ones at arcades these days, they're still pretty busy. And, of course, for people who were not, para-para people, this was a lot of people's introduction to Eurobeat,
Heck yeah, Eurobeat rules.
Yeah, and so I figured that a game that kind of harkens back to another one of our big, video game loves being, Pata Pata in the Demani series. They have that in common, so I figured this would be a good one to bring up for classic game. So there are 12 games in the series, 9 for arcade, 3 for home consoles, and I don't think it's ever going to stop, even though, when was the last movie they brought out, like 3 years ago?
Oh, I don't know.
I think.
I've never seen any of these movies. I rarely play the games, to be honest. I'm not a hater. It's just usually these are the things that I'm playing in between waiting for games of DDR. Somebody said this exact same thing in the chat room earlier, but it was kind of like it was that other game at the arcade that wasn't DDR.
All right, so that was kind of right. The Legend 3 movie, hold on. There was, Final Stage was a four-episode series that came out in 2014. And then there were the movies that they did, and then they did a live-action Initial D that was, it came out in 2005 as well. So, and one thing I was reading about just the areas that they filmed part of the movie is that now there are apparently a bunch of, like, figure and model car museums. And then there are, what else do they do? They actually have, like, photo ops at where the races are, you know, where they were, the places that were modeled. Like, Akina isn't really, you know, a real mountain location. It had a different name and... Off the top of my head, I can't remember what it was called. But, you know, just a lot of those places, they are real places, but they were renamed for the series. So, anyway, you know, that's Initial D. Lots of Eurobeat, lots of fast driving, and a car from 1986.
All right, there it is, your classic.
It has a Tofu Delivery logo on the side.
There it is, your classic game of the week, Initial D. The whole dang series, although we're focusing, I guess, on the first game for this, since we have to name something.
Yeah, the first few, which is what I was going for anything that was like 2007 and earlier.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it brings back memories of playing at the arcade because, you know, again, it was kind of like, you know, your DDR fans had that, you know, your racing game fans had, you know, Initial D, and then your fighting game fans had, like, you know, back at the time, like Soul Calibur 2 or, you know, continued Capcom versus SNK 2. You know, I know I'm dating this a little bit, but that was back when DDR was, you know, we were playing Fourth Mix and shit in the arcade. So good times.
Yeah. So I and you know, it's something I haven't done before, and I can't believe I've never done that one before. So
it's like, as long as we've been doing this segment, every week there's a new game where it's like, can't believe we never did this before. But that's the joy of this segment, why we still do it.
Seriously.
All right.
Well, I wish I could bear. I'm sorry I was, you know, messed up.
No worries. We'll get through the show. So we'll see you next week, okay?
I see you then.
All right, take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase DREAM.
All right, Dark Sakura here on the show making a guest appearance via the telephone. She'll be back in the studio next week. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. We have plenty more show to come, including some rapid-fire news. We're going to get into the mailbag, which I don't know if we have emails or not. I'll look in there and see. And then we'll talk a little bit about that debate that's going around Twitter this week about Toad and is that a hat or not? And Nintendo made an answer, and it sounds like everybody's rejecting the – well, not everybody. Half the people are rejecting the answer. It's GIF and JIF all over again, except now it's Toad's hat. That's what it is. The creator has said something, and there are other people out there saying, nope, the creator's wrong. So we'll talk about that when we come back after our break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight with the 718th episode of our show already in progress for this February the 11th. Just Loki and I here tonight. Dark Sakura was joining us a little bit via phone over there for the classic game of the week, but she's unfortunately not here in studio tonight. Hopefully back next week. But in the meantime, we still have a lot of news to get to, so let's do some rapid-fire news, Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Doom.
The new one or the old one?
The old one.
Cool.
The old one. So,
I mean, I like the new one too, but
yes. So there's been a lot of mods for Doom. So this new mod is actually a mod that was created by a user by the name of My Name Is, and it's basically
what your name is. What?
Funny. Basically, it adds D.Va's mech from Overwatch into Doom. And so the mod is called Overdoom, and so they have this neat little animation where you're getting into the mech, and you even see the hairy arms of the Doom guy and stuff as you're doing all the... So it's, you know, quite quite funny, but looks pretty awesome. So they have that. And then, of course, they also have a bunch of other weapons as well that they've introduced from the game. So lots of cool things. So if you want to check that out, I'm not sure which you can grab it. Oh, okay, let's see here. You can grab that at moddb.com/mods/overdoom. So go check that out. And then this is kind of exciting. So there was a LinkedIn profile for Bandai Namco that suggests that they're working on a Switch FPS game. And Ridge Racer 8.
That's a speaking of racing games, since you know we just kind of were talking about that throughout the talking about that before the break. Ridge Racer is one that's been gone a long time.
Yeah. So apparently, yeah, there was a LinkedIn profile, which was a developer that was at Bandai Namco, and made mention. They said unannounced IP first person shooter slash adventure exclusive to Nintendo Switch, and the other one just says Ridge Racer 8.
Have you heard the rumors about what shooter
I'm sorry, it doesn't say Ridge Racer 8 specifically. It just says drift based high speed car racing game exclusive to Nintendo Switch is another one that they had. So Ridge Racer 8 coming to the Switch?
Ooh, wouldn't that be something if the infamous Ridge Racer were to come over to Switch as an exclusive? Have you heard about what the exclusive FPS is?
No.
I mean, it's just a rumor, but Metroid Prime 4. That perhaps Bandai Namco is the ones that are making it. So, be interesting. Mm. Yeah. Quality products, quality product. I'll wait and see what they churn out, if that's true. But that's what some people have been putting together from all these.
I just want Ridge Racer. And please don't make it exclusive to the Switch, because we all want Ridge Racer.
But don't you want Ridge Racer to go?
Handheld? I don't need it to go. I just need it to be on a system that I own.
You're so selfish. All right.
Oh, yes. I'm so selfish. You know what? I got Ridge Racer to go. It was for the Vita, and it sucked ass. And I want a redo.
All right. Well, moving on. The next story I had slotted was the response from Billy Mitchell to the Donkey Kong High Score controversy, except now the website that I was supposed to be using won't load. That's great. Gotta love live radio. Let's see what I can remember off memory, and hopefully I don't misappropriate this. Well, I mean, it kind of boiled down to a lot of the stuff we talked about last week, is that one of the scores that he got...
I'll help you out here.
Thank you. Let me say the part I remember. One of the scores he got was in front of a live crowd, and that score didn't go anywhere. It's just that these higher scores that he also did, those did get discounted, although Twin Galaxies has not really formulated an official response to this whole debacle as of yet. But the reason why I want to clarify that is because last week we also were talking about the dragster guy that had made up those times, but had never really proven that he could even get in that ballpark. And part of why I said the Billy Mitchell story was different is I was like, well, Billy Mitchell can at least prove he can hang in that league. Like, he is good at Donkey Kong. He's gotten a score very, very high before. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe
it would be very weird to fake that.
Yeah. But, I mean, did he know that those machines were running main? People do weird shit with arcade cabinets all the time. So that's all I was saying is that, you know, give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. He's not always the supervillain that you saw in that movie. So, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, fair's fair. And if it was an emulator, then it does need to be discarded. It's not the same rules that everybody else is playing on. But if I were Billy Mitchell, this would just motivate me to get a higher record and do it again.
Yeah. So apparently this was from an internet talk show called East Side Dave. And he commented on the whole situation saying that I've never played MAME. I don't have MAME loaded in my home. The film footage that he has, that Jeremy, Donkey Kong Forum moderator, who analyzed the footage, has, shows MAME play. Now, I contend that if he gets the original tape or gets the original room shot, he will see that what I say is true. I'm not disputing what he says. What I'm disputing is the fact that I want him to have the original tape. And the fact of the matter is that the original footage given to Twin Galaxies has it or should have it. And that's if it's anywhere other than Twin Galaxies. That's the real problem. So, yeah, I remember them responding back saying for them to have faked that footage, like say this was a whole conspiracy and it wasn't really his footage that he submitted to them, that they would have to, like, mimic what he's done in the game. And it would just be, like, a really elaborate thing. So, I don't know.
All this over fucking Donkey Kong, my God.
And then it basically said that also, you know, with that, that apparently, what was it? There was another comment here. It says here, from Tim Twin Galaxy owners Pete Bovier was saying that, you know, when I absolutely had the good fortune to get that, or you know, I think he's talking about the whole thing with Todd Rogers. So when I had the absolutely good fortune to get the score on Donkey Kong, I turned around and one of the people shaking my hands was one of the people patting me on the back was Pete Bovier, the owner of Twin Galaxies. So basically saying, hey, when I got those scores, it was in witness of the guy that runs Twin Galaxies.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So this shit's never going to end. The advances in technology are going to make people really analyze those footage.
Right, and like I would be more on the side of believing Billy Mitchell versus definitely the other dude, you know, that has all these impossible scores that they have proved to be impossible to get. Whereas, you know, Donkey Kong, I mean, he's definitely got the skills to do it. It's just a matter of, like, getting this whole thing straightened out. And, like, I have to wonder, like, with, you know, VHS, like, how, like, could any of that have been caused by the VHS?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I mean, obviously, screen redraw is not going to be, but, I mean, VHS isn't exactly the most high-definition format out there. I can only imagine that'd be pretty hard to get into the details on that.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Rob D in chat says, I actually watched King of Kong again this week after hearing this story, and it bothers me so much. You say that Billy Mitchell isn't always a supervillain how he appears, but he's so much scummier with the knowledge that those runs were emulated. I feel so much worse for Steve Wiebe. Well, I mean, I'm saying is that, you know, I met him at Dragon Con this last year, and he's pretty much a normal freaking person. You know, he's not like ego all the time, but when the cameras are on, I think it's a part of the persona.
And could he go that far to try to one up the next guy? I mean, in line,
I don't know. I don't know him that well. You know, people are capable of crazy shit, but there's also that part of me that does want to give him the benefit of the doubt of, well, maybe he didn't know. You know,
and like what would have, like,
because I think of the man versus snake thing where, you know, the board was overclocked or whatever.
So, like, yeah, assuming like that he did do this in MAME, what would be the advantage of him doing this in MAME versus like an actual arcade cabinet? Like, what possible ways would he be cheating in that you would probably be able to detect? I would assume, like, you know, if it's scoring, mm-hmm. if he's like giving himself a higher score for everything that he picks up, I mean, that would be pretty detectable.
Technically, since it's emulated, it's not the real thing. But I get what you're saying. What advantage is the emulation giving him?
Right, because like that would be like the only thing way I would think he would do that on purpose would be to gain some sort of advantage. I don't see why he would do that if he knew it would invalidate his run. Like I would think if he's gonna cheat, he's gonna cheat, and it's gonna be to, you know, somehow game the system somehow. And I just try to figure out what he would be doing in that regard.
Rob follows up with this saying, in the worst case scenario, he could replay levels over and over and record his input as he goes, getting the best RNG. That's from live.
Oh, so like a tool-assisted run?
Tool-assisted, yeah, I guess. That comment from live.vognetwork.com. Anyway, rapid-fire news, right? I'll be curious to see where this goes, but I think maybe thanks to the All Games days, I'm so over Twin Galaxies drama. Over it. I have had it officially. Take the damn score away. See if I care.
None of you get the score. We're not playing Donkey Kong
right.
anymore.
In fact, Donkey Kong doesn't exist anymore.
It's off the table.
It's a non-game. Donkey Kong is cooking software.
Cooking software.
All right. Let's talk about Red Dead Redemption 2, because that's a much newer game that people will be setting records on, you know, when it comes out. Apparently, there's leaked notes, good old leaks. That's why I'm putting this in rapid fire. Leaks and rumors and what's possible and what's not. The leak features a slew of online modes, including Battle Royale, a team-based shootout known as Fight and Revive, and Money Grab, where you race against to get bag stacks of gold, return to your base, and get a fortune as fast as you can. There's supposed to be a huge online world where you can roam at will, and so on and so on. It sounds like they're really trying to make this a little more of a service type of game, which I don't know how lucky
it
feels.
It just sounds
that.
Like Grand Theft Auto Online, and I want to say that they have similar gameplay modes already in Grand Theft Auto Online. I know they have like a PUBG type game in Grand Theft Auto Online that you can play. And I know one of the rumors is the first person mode, which that's already in Grand Theft Auto 5. So I wouldn't see why it wouldn't be in this. It seems plausible.
Well, oh, my favorite word. Thank you.
Well, I guess, I mean, it's not like, oh my God, that's so shocking. It's not shocking at all. It sounds like it's just stuff that they would be porting from Grand Theft Auto 5, and they already have it built in the engine. So, yeah, I can probably see that happening.
Yeah. It is a little bit one of those, like, safe prediction type of things.
Yeah.
Like, I think there may be a Final Fantasy 16 at some point. I think it's very, very possible there will be a Final Fantasy 16.
Square
at some
Enix
point.
Is developing Final Fantasy 16.
That's right.
Sources say.
All right, moving on. What else do you have, Logie?
After much teasing on the Steam forums, apparently Puyo Puyo Tetris is coming to PC on February 27th. So they were like putting out these like ASCII art wallpaper things that were in different forms, like showing a Tetromino and one of the Puyo Puyos. So now, after all that, it's been confirmed, you know, that they're going to be releasing it. So you get to check it out.
Oh, hooray. For those of you that have already bought the game twice on Switch and PlayStation 4, now you can buy it again.
Yay! So, interesting. And then, along with that, so EVO 2018 is adding Dragon Ball FighterZ to the lineup. What's kind of ironic, though, is what's not being added to that? Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yikes, because that's kind of a newer fighting game.
I don't think it's as received as well.
The reception just wasn't there for that. But Capcom has good news with Monster Hunter World. Just the news over here isn't as good. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, Street Fighter V is going to be there, so that's represented. But other games, you know, Tekken 7, Smash Brothers Melee, Smash Brothers Wii U, Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, and then, of course, you know, they're saying that Injustice 2 is still on the roster. So that'll be there. And then specifically Street Fighter V, the arcade edition will be there.
Well, that's, you know, the new one.
Yeah. And then Guilty Gear Xrd Revision 2. So it's disappointing, but I mean, I don't know. I wasn't impressed by Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
All right. Well, let's travel around the world and check out some releases that will hopefully impress you a little more that are coming out around the world this week, starting with the U.S.
All right, so let's take a look here. I can't imagine there's too much coming out, although we are in February, and it's an okay month. So, let's see. Coming out this week, we've got a few things. Dynasty Warriors 9, that's coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Kingdom Come Deliverance on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Owlboy finally getting released on console, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology on 3DS. The Longest 5 Minutes on PC, Switch, and the Vita. And let's see, Legend of Heroes, Trails of the Cold Steel 2 on PC. And then this is interesting. I'm curious to see what this actually looks like. Remember, I think we talked about this a while back, but A Certain Magical Virtual On is going to be coming out on PlayStation 4 and the Vita. Too bad that's not actually for like PlayStation VR, because that might be cool. Fee, that's on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Secret of Mana on PC, PlayStation
Vita. That's the big release this week.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Before you speak too soon
The
big release.
That's going to be hard to top the Secret of Mana remake. I'm really looking forward to that.
How about I'll give you Bayonetta 1 and 2 on the Switch.
Oh, fuck. That's this week?
That's this week.
Why did I think that was like March? Oh, shit. You're right. That is the big release this week. Wow, you tried to write this week off at the beginning. It's not a big deal. Those are two big fucking deal games. Those might be the things that finally tear me away
fucking Final Fantasy 14 for a little while.
All right.
Great.
And then there's a game called Long Gone Days on PC, Mac, and Linux coming out 1 week from today. That's it.
All right, traveling over to Japan, the releases this week in Japan include on the PlayStation 4, Cyber Troopers Virtual On Cross Tora Majutsu no Index. It's that same
game.
Yeah. Secret of Mana remake. Of course, you would know it as Seiken Densetsu 2 over there. That is also released on the 15th this week. There's also a game called Shinobi Koi Utsusu Banka Aya Imakai in a regular and limited edition that should not be confused just because it has the word Shinobi in it with Sega's big series. This is a different game. That actually looks like it's more like based on an anime, based on the various faces that are there. That is on the PlayStation 4. On the PlayStation Vita this week, Idolish. It's not Idle, it's just Idolish. Idolish 712 Fantasia is out, as well as that same Virtual On. And the Secret of Mana remake on the Vita, don't forget. Like a rare Vita sighting. And then on the Nintendo Switch this week, over in Japan... actually nothing, sadly. I'm not seeing anything in Japan this week, except that same Bayonetta 1 and 2 remake is on February 17th, so I guess that is the day before our next show, so I guess that would count. So the Bayonetta remake is on the Switch in Japan as well, and the Nintendo 3DS, nothing this week. Do you have Europe up, Loki? You want to do that?
Sure. So let's see. This week we've got Kingdom Come Deliverance on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. South Park, The Stick of Truth on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The Secret of Mana on PlayStation 4, Vita, and PC. That's all they have listed.
All right, let's get to the mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to email us for a future week, and we will read your emails live on air. So let's get to it. We have a couple of emails tonight. I know I said before the break I wasn't sure if we had any, and I forgot there were a couple that came in. There was one earlier in the week and then one yesterday, so we have a couple emails to get through tonight. So let's start off with this first email from our pal YYR, who emails us saying... Hello, LR. I'm just going to do what I often do, comment on last week's episode. Regarding the Rock Band Network songs being delisted, I can tell you the most likely cause of that and has nothing to do with licensing. Guess what system powered the submission and sales of Rock Band Network songs? Xbox Live Indie Games. Yep, Xbox Live Indie Games is the backbone of Rock Band Network, and I'm surprised they didn't both go down together. Or perhaps they will be doing just that, because while all Xbox Live Indie Games were officially delisted in October, the system's still up. And three of the games were left on sale up until just recently. My belief is they're finally bringing that system down this month. That could be that maybe there was some
probably
kind of like, yeah, window. I think you're onto something.
It's surprising that they didn't just rebuild the system to support it.
No. It is what it is. So if you're wondering why those songs are disappearing, yep, that's the reason. And as far as custom music in game goes, that was something we talked about last week. Personally, I barely ever do that. But I admit that I played both Burnout 3 and Burnout Revenge on the original Xbox with a custom soundtrack. And not just from any soundtrack, but the best one. The soundtrack from Wangan Midnight Maximum Tune, composed by the one and only Yuzo Koshiro. Dude, I've done the same thing in racing games. I've done the same thing. You've done the Wangan soundtrack.
Gives you the edge.
Hell, fuck yeah. Makes me...
That...
Here's the dangerous thing. I've listened to that soundtrack in my car driving to LA, and I shit you not, that's like when you're going down like the cow towns on I-5, which I know not everybody knows the West Coast, but like, you know, between Sacramento and LA on I-5, there ain't shit. Like, it's a lot of like cow towns and stuff. It's like I caught myself going 95 miles an hour on the freeway to LA because I was listening to the Wangan Midnight Maximum Tune.
That's one thing I liked about Ridge Racer was the music in the game.
Yes. So anyhow, let's see. And by the way, if you happen to go to round one, play the fifth version of that game. He's still doing the music, and it's fantastic. I didn't know he was still doing the music. That's great. I got to find those soundtracks then. All right. I'll close with a response to your response to my previous email that if you acquire a game and put it in your house, it ought to not be ripped away from you. But the unfortunate fact is that we don't actually own any of these network-based games, and we never have, we never will. Whether it's Miitomo or World of Warcraft or Overwatch or any other network-based game on any platform, we simply can't approach it with the mentality of, I own this, because no, you don't, and you still won't when the service is eventually terminated, even if you spent a significant amount of money on it. Am I wrong? Not necessarily, but didn't we have that whole thing with the Congress? Like, somebody was trying to petition with copyright. I think it was one of these gaming archive sites that they should be able to, if the official companies are not going to run the servers, then somebody else, hackers or whoever, you know, figured out how to reverse engineer a server, should be able to run their own servers for games so that these types of games can be preserved. Because you're right. Everybody's fucking talking about Overwatch now, and it's at, you know, full-time fever with Overwatch League and all that stuff. But it'll go away someday. But how are people 100 years from now going to be able to play Overwatch? I can go back and watch Gone with the Wind, which was made 80-plus years ago. 80 years from now, how are they going to play Overwatch if the servers are down? So it'll be interesting. Anyway, and yes, if you have a copy of Super Multitasking, you can stream it now. Well, I plan to after tonight's show, actually, because I haven't streamed in an awfully long time because I've been, you know, focusing on the podcasts and just other stuff. But I will be doing Super Multitasking tonight because I've been waiting for this one. And if you'd like to stream it before release and you have an audience of any size, please reach out to me at YYR@YYRgames.com and I'll send you a copy right away. Now, if only I could find some time to sleep. Have a great week, Aaron, YYR. Best of luck on the release of the game, by the way. So it's coming out, I think, in fact, I know it was the February 23rd is when the game's coming out. So check that out on Steam. Or if you have an audience on Twitch of any size, YYR is a nice guy. He'll help you out. Just send him an email if you're interested at all. All right. One more email. Let's get to it. This email from Midnight Dream, who says, "Dear Orange Lounge Radio, firstly, thank you for your podcast. I've been enjoying it off and on since 2005. Holy shit. Well, thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. You're in the 10-year club. You get a gold star. And I even called in once in 2015. You probably don't remember, but I'd been playing Sega Master System games and told you that I started listening to you guys and I was looking for podcasts to listen to while I was getting wired up to participate in a sleep study." I have to be honest, since I was about 3 years ago, I don't remember that specific call.
I don't remember anything that happened last week or last month, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, don't feel bad. I have a hard time remembering what happened in my own life yesterday. Two aspects of your podcast that I enjoy in particular is the friendship of you three, the hosts. Well, yeah, Loki's okay. No, this is a good way for us to hang out every week. And the discussion of all games, from retro to PC to mobile to modern console. In fact, I think the only genre of games you guys rarely discuss is text-based games, though you did do Zork as Classic Game of the Week and have discussed text-based roguelikes here and there. I am only aware of this fact because I am actually the nerd of nerds and still enjoy interactive fiction and text-based games. Well, you know, there's that witty part of me that wants to say, they're still making text-based games, but they really are, because Twine has made it so easy to make those types of games, and even with some limited interactions with it. And I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Depression Quest, remember the whole, you know, that was the Zoe Quinn game, and then that led to, you know, a Kotaku article, .. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. But Depression Quest was a text-based game, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and that was, you know, obviously it was hugely impactful in gaming culture. We'll leave it at that. So, you know, text-based games, they definitely still have a place. You know, books still have a place against movies. So I think there's some people that definitely like those text-based games.
Why did anyone ever give a shit about such a, like, an indie, whatever. Okay, we're not going to go on that topic. But, like, I just, like, why make a big deal out of something like that?
I know. Let it go.
I'm not.
I understand.
It's just pondering.
Some topics aren't worth revisiting. 1 vs. 100, worth revisiting.
Absolutely.
Every single week. Classic Game Room, worth revisiting every week. That, let's not revisit it.
There you go, Nintendo. You want a good idea to get people interested in virtual console games? Just have them be able to build, like, your own virtual arcade with your classic NES, Super NES games.
And to be clear, I'm not dogging on Depression Quest, which is an important game, and you should check it out because it is, you know, it's something I don't think we'd really seen in gaming before. One more brief aside. I'm glad you guys got rid of the FU of the Week not long ago. Personally, while I realize this is your show and it's an outlet in many ways, I tune into your show for the aforementioned camaraderie, inclusiveness, and positivity, and there is enough negativity that is bound to pop up naturally without having to dedicate a pre-scheduled block of the show to it every week. I thank you for seeing the exact reasons why I really pushed to have it sunsetted. I know I wish Dark Soccer was here so she could say her piece, because I know the FUs were you know, a lot her as well. But I know she agrees and she's on the same page. And I think, ironically enough, that whole topic we just brought up was around the same time when we had that intense negativity in gaming. Was around the same time we decided to sunset the FU of the week for many of those reasons. But we always reserve the right to bring it back, because sometimes there's just going to be things we have to. You're right. It is an outlet, and sometimes we just have to let it go. All right. Continuing with the email. So after awakening from the 3-year metaphorical sleep study since my call in 2015, I've decided to write in to ask y'all's opinions on social media. I personally have cut social media out of my life for many months now. That means no Facebook, Twitter, YouTube comments, or anything like that. I am subscribed to some Discord servers and subreddits that are well moderated, mostly related to my chosen trade and its related fields, and built on communities based on mutual respect. Even these, however, I don't check on a daily basis. I find myself less distracted and more peaceful as a result of these changes, and personally, I find the aforementioned services to be a net negative influence for most people in most cases. My girlfriend, after doing some reading and noticing my example, has also dropped social media. She held on to Instagram for a while, but eventually she gave that up too. We still look up cute animal photos and videos from time to time, though, so tell Mr. Smush not to worry. Oh, I just posted a new pic of him before the show, too. Mr. Smush, spelled M-I-S-T-E-R, Smush, on Instagram. Cheap plug. I love that Rob has decided to focus on podcasts, because I find podcasts to be my favorite way to consume information through the internet. They are generally long form, which gives you the chance to flesh out an idea and go deep on a topic, and you get to hear people speak for themselves, which humanizes the speaker and usually makes nuances in their ideas clearer. Thank you, because you're saying it. Yes, but I'm going to cut that out and put it on the back of the box. Exactly. Continuing. I'm under the impression that podcasters are generally more reflective, thoughtful, and respectful than video jockeys or clickbait article writers and Twitterers. Though when it comes to why exactly this is, or even whether this is a fair assessment, I can't say for sure. My intuition is that it may be due to the short attention span plus ad-driven nature of most of the internet. Shock value might get you to stop and listen to a host when you are flipping through the channels while you're stuck in traffic, old-time radio, or browsing links online, modern internet, but it is not likely to get you to download a podcast and sit and listen to it for 30 minutes, an hour, or even gasp 3 hours. And podcasting doesn't yet attract fly-by-night trolls willing to do or say anything for views or listens. I find that people that stick with podcasting generally value community, discussion, and in some cases evangelizing about whatever it is they care about much more than they do view counts and ad revenue at any cost. I think it's harder for – this is not in the email. This is my thought. I think it's harder for the negativity in podcasts to kind of float to the surface, because there are so many podcasts out there, and because, you know, a lot of the algorithms are focused on what is being downloaded and what is highly rated, it can be very difficult for all sorts of new shows to kind of rise up. But also people that want to get into this for the wrong reason have a really hard time kind of rising up. You know, in the video-based world, in the YouTube-based world, it's very easy to clip a video and show 30 seconds of something. Whereas with a podcast, that doesn't really happen. I'm fully aware of things like Anchor and, you know, people that will take clips of podcasts and put them on YouTube, but they don't really seem to catch that same fire that I think you're kind of referencing here when it comes to, you know, little bits, short attention span moments.
Well, there's a podcast that I sometimes listen to, the Totally Unnecessary Podcast with Pat the NES Punk. So what they do for their podcast is they cut out basically each story that they're talking about or each topic, and they split it down to basically like a 10-minute video. And they just, like, for a whole week, they'll have like 20 videos that go up. So that's one way to do it, so that you have that, you know, kind of short thing. And plus, you're uploading lots of videos, so that also helps with the algorithms and whatnot.
Interesting. So what are your thoughts, experiences with different forms of social media? Has the internet really made progress since 2005, when podcasts were the new hot tech and blogs were dominant? Or have we devolved into a culture of ADD and outrage fueled by ad revenue and technological manipulation of our monkey brains? Thanks again for the show. And until next time, may your lounges be orange and your sakuras dark. That's from Midnight Dream. Great email, Midnight Dream. Thank you so much. Thoughts on social media. You know, I got to be honest. I have come so close time and time again to just getting rid of Facebook. Facebook sucks for a lot of
things.
It's
very unusable right now.
It's the clickbait culture and the headlines and the outrage that leads to, and the fact that people will say things behind a computer screen that they won't say to somebody's face in real life. A lot of that shit is getting to a point where it's just becoming, I think a lot of people are doing what you're doing and kind of reflecting, like, why do I waste my time on this? And now that's even, like, doubled by, we have these recent stories about people in the tech industry that are kind of regretful they committed or that they created this stuff. You know, like, what was that thing we just talked about last week that, you know, Tim Cook from Apple, like, doesn't let his nephew use social media. And then there's also the part that, you know, I don't mean to get too political here, but the reality is Russia impacted our election by using social media engineering. Now, I'm not going to go so far as to say how much of an impact did it have and did it tip the election the entire way. Y'all can draw your own conclusions on that. I'm not going to open that can of worms. But the fact is, because the reports are out there and Facebook will tell you if you go click on, these pages were created by Russian entities to try to distract what was going on basically in American politics. That is fact that it happened. And it's still happening on Twitter, and it's probably still happening to some extent on Facebook as well. And all that noise, all that garbage kind of makes you go like, well, why am I still continuing to use these websites? But here's reality. If I didn't use Facebook, I probably wouldn't know when certain people got pregnant. I wouldn't know when certain people got married. I wouldn't know so-and-so went on a trip lately. I would be so far behind on the news. And I do have a friend that left Facebook behind some time ago. And I'm finding all the time I'm messaging her something about da-da-da. And I have to stop for a minute and go, shit, she never saw the post on this. She has no idea that I did this new thing or I hosted this other show last weekend or something. She has no idea about any of that because she's not on Facebook. So it's one of those things where kind of like we all have to make a decision to leave Facebook. Or there's going to be some of us that are putting their news updates on there and others that aren't. And then another big reason that I stay on Facebook is Messenger, because the reality is that's just replaced email. And there's friends that I talk to every single day on Messenger. And if I don't have Messenger, I wouldn't be able to talk to them. But my understanding is you can deactivate Facebook but still keep Messenger. But I still kind of feel like, well, you're supporting Facebook by using Messenger. So I don't know. One other thing I want to get out with this, I realize it's not like completely gaming related, but I think it is. A lot of this stuff is very adjacent. I do use Twitter a lot, and I really enjoy Twitter, and I've met a ton of people on Twitter, some of which I consider really close friends, or that I have relationships that have gotten closer because of Twitter. It's very similar to LiveJournal. I met my husband on LiveJournal many, many years ago, which was the social media that we were using before, you know, MySpace and Facebook and all that stuff took off, you know? This community that formed OLR got stronger because of LiveJournal, because of social media and all of that. So I realize there's a lot of bullshit on Twitter. There's a lot of bullshit on Twitter. But I found that with every block I make, with every mute that I do, it gets a little easier to dodge that noise. Like I blocked Notch, I don't know how long ago. And it's great because I don't see when people get mad about whatever he posts, I don't see it. Because I blocked him.
Well,
he's not going to give a shit. Well, he has no idea who I am.
On top of that, I mean, I follow Notch, but like, even the way Twitter is with their feed and stuff, it's like, even when he does post something that people are getting mad about, I can't see it because it sorts my feed all fucking weird.
Oh, here's the new thing I get is now on my feed because it shows a heck of a lot of what other people liked. I get so much softcore gay porn.
Yes. Thank you, Captain Spike and all the other people. Like, yes, I've had to block. I think I had to unfollow them or something because like, I'm all, okay, it's cool to like your own things.
Yeah.
But Twitter, there was no way for me to block people's likes. I can't block people's likes. And if you're liking scantily clad photos, be it of women or men, I can't block that. Like, I can't view Twitter at my work because, here comes, like, this, like, guy posed all seductively. It's like, okay, that's going to be awkward.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I think you can get around that by using lists. because I don't think that happens on lists. But then if you've muted a person's retweets, it doesn't matter when you go to the list. So Twitter has some bullshit that needs to really be fixed. And then, you know, there's are still a lot of problems on Twitter that they have had a real hard time policing certain parts of it. But the good news is it's very easy on Twitter, at least in my experience, to cut that out. It's just that you feel a little dirty being on the website where all that shit is happening. But it is kind of easy to block out that noise, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people on Twitter I have befriended and you know, have some good friends.
Yeah, and all I did, what I think for the pictures, is I just started blocking those people, not the people retweeting that stuff, but the actual people whose pictures they were in.
And that's why I don't see Notch's shit, or, you know, the people, the crazy right-wing guy when he was still on Twitter before they kicked him off, like, I was able to dodge that shit because I just blocked them all or muted them.
Yeah. Or just don't follow anybody that, you know, has that kind of stuff.
It's hard sometimes, you know. Yeah. So anyway, let's see. I haven't been looking at chat in a minute. Over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says, I never like anything on Twitter anymore. I don't want to spam people's feeds. I only like tweets that are positive and to me or about me. I can't help myself. If I see a fucking funny Drag Race reference, I'm going to like it. Like, I can't
help
myself.
Well, it doesn't make sure.
I do not like the thirst pics of some of the people that I follow because I don't want my followers to have to confront that in their own feeds. So I hope my friends understand that it's not that I don't like your pictures. I just don't want my followers to be subjected to it, and I know how Twitter works.
Well, that's why they have retweet. If I want my followers to see a certain thing that someone else has posted, then I can retweet it. Why do I need to have, like, if I like something, it retweets it? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. That's something that Twitter needs to fix. But anyway, here's the other thing, though, is that, you know, just like there was LiveJournal before, even if Facebook and even if, you know, Twitter fade away, there's going to be something else.
There's always Elo.
Stop it. All right. Yeah. The Rob D hits nail on the head. All it would take is a group of celebrities and athletes to promote something else, I feel. Exactly right. Twitter took off when the president started using it, you know, and when celebrities were using it. And same thing happened with MySpace, really.
Now that all the adults are using it, it's not cool anymore.
All right. Let's move on. That was a great email, but I mean those are my thoughts, is that there are still good things on social media, but I totally understand where, like, sometimes it's just too much. Like, the way, like, you will see people that know each other go at each other's throats on Facebook, it's like, I want no part of this because you're both being ridiculous right now. Like, you both wouldn't say that to each other's faces. This is dumb. And I've seen some really ugly stuff go on Facebook and some of these social media campaigns, and lies that get spread because somebody's feelings get hurt and all this shit. And it's like, I don't want any part of it. But at the same time, it's a really great way for me to promote, hey, I'm going to be hosting this gig. Like, I did a screening of The Room in Sacramento in Midtown last night, and, like, I wouldn't have really been able to tell people that any easy way. And it's something I'm very proud of, that, you know, I got asked to host an event that's something different, that, you know, I'm getting more of these types of live hosting gigs, and I'm very proud of that. And I do want people to know so they can come see me if they want. So anyway, Facebook makes that easy. All right, let's move on. We do have some more news, and then we'll get to your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. But first, Loki.
All right, so there has been a secret ending for Metal Gear Solid 5 that people have found out about a while back, but it's never actually triggered until recently. And that's right, what it is involved to get the secret ending is basically all the players that have their... have to dismantle all of their nuclear weapons. So basically everybody has to disarm the nukes, and there's world peace, and yay! So the nuclear disarmament ending, I guess, would have triggered and shows basically this cutscene. Well, that happened recently on February 2nd. However, it was a glitch. Whoops! It wasn't... They didn't actually disarm all the nukes. No, So apparently Konami came out and said, you know, the nuclear disarmament event was triggered in the Steam version of Metal Gear Solid V: The Phantom Pain on February 2nd, approximately 12 o'clock GMT. We're still investigating, but we can confirm that the event was triggered while making the nuke, while the nuke count hadn't reached zero. The thought is that hackers have been playing, you know, manipulating the nuke count in the game, and they got it so high that it wrapped back around to negative numbers.
Oh.
And that caused it to trigger.
Huh.
But
that game's been out a long time, so it's kind of funny that people are just now finding it.
Yeah, and so that was the basically the thing that happened. And so everyone thought, oh, hey, is this going to trigger a new chapter in the game? Nope, just the cutscene, sadly. Nothing else. And, well, that's it. I guess that's the end of that bookend for Metal Gear Solid 5.
For your favorite series, it's probably never coming back. Just to, because remember, Kojima, no affiliation with Konami
anymore.
Metal Gear Solid Survive. That's
Metal
true.
Gear
Konami
Survive.
Could always take the franchise and give it to somebody else. But, anyway. Meanwhile, over on Nintendo Switch, I don't know about you guys, but I've amassed all these gold coins that I can't fucking spend on anything because it's just discounts on software I don't want, or it's free stuff that's also things I don't want. Well, the good news is Nintendo is going to be changing their gold point system a little bit starting in March, and that's going to affect Europe, Japan, and North America. So an update is going to occur where you can use gold points to buy Switch games from the Nintendo eShop. So they are saying that will be something you can use in the Switch eShop. I just hope it's like, well, for one, I mean, maybe they'll offer like select games and so forth. But the stuff they're offering on 3DS and Wii is like, or it's like old Wii U. It's stuff that I bought a long time ago and I don't need again or what?
Yeah, based on what they were saying before, it was supposed to be one-to-one sort of. So like each coin you get in Japan, it's like equal to 1 yen.
Right.
Which is basically like a penny here.
Yep.
So that's. I don't know how many gold coins you earn.
So, yeah, not only will there be the Switch rewards, but, yeah, there's this other element of it where you could use one gold coin to basically be, yeah, you're right, in Japan it would be 1 yen. So, that's nothing.
How many gold coins do you earn at a time?
You get, like, 5% back in gold if you get a digital version, and it's only a 1% return for packaged Switch purchases. So, like, if I buy a $50 game, I get, like, 50 coins. So that would be 50 cents from my $50 game.
That sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like I would just rather take the crappy little game that I missed and cash out that way. But it is another way you can do it. I have something like 200 coins in my account, and if it's only worth $2, forget it. It's not the way I want to spend those points. I'll just wait and hope something good or a really good discount comes around. All right. Let's move on. Loki.
All right. So, I don't know. This is a big controversy, I guess. But apparently, the debate on the internet's been, Toad, is the mushroom part of his hat? Is that part of his hat? Or is that his head? Which is it? Is it attached to his skull? Or is it just cosmetic? And apparently Nintendo came out and answered that question, saying that, yes, canon is that it is attached to his head. That's what the story is. And apparently, you know, even though in the cartoon he does take it off, that's just him removing the top portion of his skull and not his hat.
Nintendo also did make the cartoon. Nintendo allowed somebody else to make the cartoon. I would subscribe to the theory that it is not a hat, because if they're from the Mushroom Kingdom, then they look like mushroom people. So if it's just a hat, mushrooms don't wear hats. That's my perspective on it, but I guess this is going to be the new argument. This is the new pineapple on pizza, which, by the way, I love Hawaiian pizza, so don't try to come at me with the whole pineapple doesn't belong on pizza, because it totally is fine. Hawaiian pizza is great. I wouldn't put it on every pizza, but I put it on that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
So this is that's how I officially feel. It's not a hat. Yes to pineapple on pizza. GIF. Just so we're clear. Dark Tetsuya says, well, why did they animate that scene with Toad taking his hat off? Nintendo didn't animate that scene. Nintendo had another company animate that scene.
another company had the rights to do their own cartoon thingy from Nintendo. So that technically all of that is not official canon. So there's that.
I'm fine with that too. Yes, why doesn't Zelda, or Link, I should say, in Zelda ever say, "Excuse me, princess"? That never once happens in any of the games. So, you know, who are we to believe, the cartoon or the games?
All right, I am already sick of this argument. All right, speaking of ways to get muted on Twitter, come at me with this argument. All right, let's move on, Loki.
All right, and then finally, this is kind of cool. So, you may, if you've played Super Mario Odyssey, especially if you've done some of these weird hat tricks where you jump to places.
No more hat talk!
If you jump to, like, these, like, hard-to-reach places and stuff, and you find there's coins there, you might be thinking, well, why the hell did they put coins there? That's kind of odd. So, apparently, in testing this game, a lot of the game testers were able to get to different places in the game that you normally wouldn't be able to get to. I guess some unexpected areas, and to kind of pay tribute to those testers as well, they put coins in those places. So they hid coins in all these places that you would not normally go to reward people that have found ways to get to those places, I guess, if that makes sense. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, that is kind of neat.
I don't know if this has to do with Toad's hat, though, but, you know, it's neat.
No, it's because Mario's hat is the item in Odyssey. But yes, people get to very hard-to-reach areas, and I think that's kind of cool that Nintendo was like, well, I never thought to get up there. Let's put a coin there so other people think to get up there. I think that's kind of cool that, you know, they let the testers kind of find the hard-to-reach shit for them in a way. So, yeah. Kind of neat. I like that. All right, one more story for you guys, and it also has to do with Nintendo. And then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to call in tonight. And it's about Nintendo Online, and they're saying that it's going to be worth the wait. That's right. In a Q&A session for investors, the Nintendo Switch architect Shinya Takahashi says that this service is going to be, again, worth the wait. The question was about Nintendo Switch Online. The official start of service has been significantly delayed. Has anything changed during this extended development period? Also, how do you plan to popularize the service? The answer: we view the online service as one component of our efforts to diversify how our games are played and get people to play more of our games. That is why we want to apply substantial resources to the online service with the thinking that we will devote our energies to making this a for-pay service. As for how we plan to popularize the service, it is less about the mechanism and more a question of what kinds of products we can offer. The spread of the service will depend on whether consumers want what we offer. Please give us a bit more time to announce more details about the service. I think that announcement will convey to you how we plan to popularize the service. It does sound very clear to me from that. This is not just pay to play online. There is definitely another component to this, and whether it is the classic game a month that you play online, whether it's that whole thing or it's there's another twist to it that we just don't know yet, there's something else there. It's not just $20 to play online Splatoon anymore. But I think we all kind of knew that was the direction it was going in, but it really does sound like Nintendo's trying to push for something more, and that something more they really think is a big deal, whether they're right or not. But the Switch is selling like fucking crazy, so what do we know anymore? Anyway, one more follow-up by Takahashi, who said, we have some ideas about how to make Nintendo Switch Online appealing when it becomes a for-pay service, so I think our next announcement will be worth the wait. How about that, Loki? Gonna be worth the wait. Balloon fight with your friends. Worth the wait.
We'll see what's worth the wait.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if they are, you know, if they are really exceeding my expectations, maybe what they're even doing with the classic games, like maybe they are doing more leaderboards, maybe they're infusing some of these old classic games with newer technology and it's not as simple as just emulating the old ROM. Maybe if they are going back and doing some crazy shit to their catalog, then bring it on. Let's do it. For now, though, I do enjoy that I can play Splatoon online for free. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. You can also do the old school phone number, 1-877-GAME-OLR. Also in chat, more comments at live.vognetwork.com. SSJ100 Matt says, hey, as long as they don't mess it up, they can take as long as they want. Nintendo Arcade Room. Don't tease me. Don't tease me with that. We have a call coming in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron. I'm a long-time caller, long-time listener.
Yeah, great. Great to hear from you again. No, I'm kidding. It's always a delight. What's on your mind, buddy?
A couple of things. Now, one thing. I tagged you in something on Facebook, and I understand you're going away from Facebook, and I get that. But I'm dragging you back over for one thing you have not responded to. I need to know.
I have a feeling I know what this is, but go for it.
Yes. Spice Girls, are you down?
Absolutely. Here's the thing. Here's why I didn't respond, Rama. Because I got tagged in posts by five other people on that. And although I love that people associate me with that news, I just didn't get around to responding to every single one. But let me just put it this way. The name of my other show, Shaking and Crying, is not ironic at this point. especially when this news inevitably comes up on the show this week. I'm so happy. I know people are going to laugh, but I shit you not. The Spice Girls reunion tour they did, like back in what was 06 or so, was seriously one of the best concerts I've ever been to. I had so much fucking fun.
Well, I'm going to try to make it this year because I saw Spice World in theaters, and I have the VHS tape, so you know I'm a fan.
I know, and I saw Spice World in theaters too. I don't have the VHS tape, but I have the DVD.
But did you play the PS1 game?
I did, and did you know that Brad from Pod Culture found a copy of it at like a thrift store or something, and he sent it to me so that I could play it on my PlayStation 3 because PS3 will play PS1 games, so I can go through the Let's Put Another Girl Through Her Paces all over again.
What is this about? Human trafficking?
What? The Spice World game?
Oh, the Spice World
game. No, the Spice World game. Jesus. Don't take it to a dark place.
But this is Loki here. Of course she's going to take it to a dark place.
That's a very good point. So, yes, I'm excited about the tour. I hope they are coming to the States. Although the excuse to go overseas, I wouldn't really complain, but we'll wait and see what's going on. The only outlet that's really confirmed anything is TMZ, so I am still kind of just cautiously waiting. I would like the Spice Girls themselves to say something because TMZ is kind of, you know, trashy news.
True.
So I'm waiting for something a little more official, but it does seem like something's going to happen. I'm very excited about it.
Me too, and I did also see it linked from Entertainment Weekly, so, you know, getting there.
Well, all what right. else is on your mind, buddy?
All right, so I was traveling back from Mako-chan's birthday party, so I missed parts of the show, but I spoke to HackDef, that's my boy, and I appreciate that. So I wanted to comment quickly on the whole Twitch community guidelines thing, because I'm starting to see some of the backlash of that on my feed.
Oh, really?
Yes, because, well, I am friends with various cosplayers, and some of them stream on Twitch, and I know someone who stream on adult sites and so forth, you know. So
sure.
Everyone's got to hustle, make their money, and I respect that.
Sure.
Now, and I know a few who are doing both, and that's all good. I mean, personally, I really don't want to see some of titties all up in my gaming screen while I'm watching, but if that's what they got, if that's part of the hustle, so be it. But Twitch is mostly for gaming. I mean, if whether it's male or female, if you want to sexify yourself, that's fine. Be on one side of the screen, and let's see you playing through Super Metroid or another game on the other side. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. But I get why this happens, because believe it or not, it's much more accessible to get onto Twitch as it is to the various other adult sites that are out there.
I have two things to say real quick to the Rob D in chat who named Posh, Sporty, and Scary. You forgot Baby and Ginger. There you go. Anyway, those are the five. Then to your point, here's the thing, and this is what I think everybody needs to keep in mind. For everybody yes. that's saying Twitch is gaming, y'all, not for much longer. Quote me on this. I mean, ever since Amazon bought Twitch, I think you've seen it inch closer and closer to being more than just gaming. And I realize the irony here that, you know, Twitch once started as a live casting site through Justin TV. But I don't think it's that Twitch is going back to Justin. I think it's that Twitch is kind of getting closer and closer to answering our fucking prayers and giving YouTube a competitor that can take them on at their level. Amazon is at the level where they can compete with Google.
And okay.
I think that's where Twitch is headed eventually. So I just don't want people to be shocked when that news inevitably comes out that Twitch is much more than games.
And I get that. I kind of feel as if Twitch is going back to Justin TV as part of their roots. It's like, you know what? This is where we started. Let's add a little bit of this and go out there. Because I know cosplayers who have their own creative channels on doing live streams of making various cosplays. I know people who do art and stuff like that. I get that. But there are some levels of lewdness that goes on in Twitch that really shouldn't be there. Am I going to sit there and tell someone they shouldn't do it? Nope. Not my business. Not my monkeys. But if it's my site and I see it's causing an issue, then I'm going to be like, yeah, you got to reel that back in. Simple as that.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel some are saying, you know, Twitch, you just open up an 18-plus site. I'm just like, well, that's not going to do you any good.
I don't think Amazon doesn't want to moderate that. No. They don't want to have that in their holdings. For whatever reason in this country, and I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying for whatever reason in this country, nobody wants to do sex-related stuff, and that keeps to an industry all its own. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I was hearing someone talking about, like, you know, what they thought, who could be a possible contender that would have the infrastructure to be able to compete with YouTube. And it makes so much sense. And it's so easy for them to do this. Pornhub come out with a video platform called, like, Video Hub or Tube Hub or something like that. You know, basically like a non-porn site. They have the infrastructure in place to be able to do this, and they have a section off for porn already. They could compete, I think.
Yeah, but
you can already submit videos. It's just a matter of time of streaming live videos.
Oh, yeah, and I love it when people are like, they post those videos that are like 70-year-old man fucks the entire country at once, and it's like Trump giving the speech or something.
I forget how Pornhub is out there fighting for our internet rights and so forth. You got to understand something. Here is a site that makes money off of guys and girls getting off, fapping, all of this. And they're out there on the forefront fighting for your right to spank and so forth.
Yeah, no.
And if they do something like that, I can actually see everybody just going over, and then there's just tumbleweeds going through Twitch and YouTube, you know?
Yeah, and I totally get what you're saying, and here's the thing, and with this whole argument, it's like, I don't want to shame sex workers, because and I don't think you do either, and I think there's a lot of, you know, people make a living however they're going to make a living, and that's, you know, as long as everything is consensual, that's the most important part. What happens between two consenting adults is their business, and that's fine, and I'm not out here to shame sex workers. I think the reality of the situation aims a little closely to what you're talking about but I don't want to be looking for video games and then come across that. You know, there's a time and a place for that.
Yeah, I get it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm watching somebody, you know, they're going through a game. If she's wearing something cute, that's fine. I mean, I'm cool with that. I mean, but if they're doing, like, you know, if you tip and they pose a certain – I'm like, yeah, that kind – I get that I'll get more people in, but that kind of takes away from the reason why you're there.
Yeah,
you know?
I get it.
Yeah. So. And again, I mean, it's still going to be a gray area, and I see Twitch is still trying to dance around it, because if they just come down and be like, this is what it is now, oh, the backlash is going to be horrible. But you know what? I laugh when people say, oh, I don't like what you're doing. I'm going to leave the site. Go right ahead. For one person that leaves the site, three more people will come through and be like, I like what's here. That's what it boils down to. I believe it's the 85-15 rule, or in this case, the 90-10 rule. As long as 90% of the people are happy with what's going on, that's all that matters.
And that may end up, you know, referencing the early email that goes on, that may ultimately end up being what happens with Facebook. You know, once enough people are tipped off about it and go somewhere else, especially when it ends up being the celebrities and so forth, that's when Facebook's going to be hurting. No. Anyway, Rama, great call, but I'm going to let you go to see if anybody else wants to get in, since we're coming up on 10 minutes. But thank you so much for the call.
Hey, no problem. Y'all take care now.
Yeah, take care, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype if you would like to give us a call. I didn't check on last minute stories because the phones lit up pretty quick there. Do you have any last minute stories to share?
No, I don't really have any. I don't remember talking about these, but there was like some.
I thought there was one I didn't wasn't able to fit in. I don't know if you.
Oh, I didn't look at it.
Way to prepare. Way to prepare. All right. We do have the phone lighting up with another phone call, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, it's Aaron, YYR.
Oh, you're going for the twofer tonight, email and phone call. But no, we love hearing from you. What's up, YYR?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what my mind just totally blanked out. I've been kind of burning the candle at both ends and living, breathing, trying to fix all the little problems with the game. And actually, JD has been a humongous help. He pointed out a couple of bugs I don't think I would have found otherwise, including the fact that like my entire routine to like figure out the aspect ratio of your screen and adjust accordingly, I broke it and I didn't even notice until he pointed it out.
Wow, gold star for you, JD, because I honestly, I've been playing the game, and besides, you know, the alt tab thing, which you already knew about, and I didn't get to test your workaround, but you know, besides the stuff you already knew about, it's like I was really not finding stuff. So good job, JD, who found new stuff in there.
Well, actually, it's pretty funny because the alt tab crash, I think it has something to do with, you know, the resolution, and JD's fix had to do with resolution. So I just tried this new build in Steam and I couldn't alt tab crash it. So I'm wondering if it maybe is fixed now.
Oh.
But he's not going to be able to test for an hour and a half because he's at a friend's place right now.
Yes, it's Star Trek Discovery finale night. It's a very big deal. So that's what's going on.
Well, now I feel bad for having interrupted him.
No, I'm sure he's fine. You know what? I know making a game is hard and selling it is even harder. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Making like some games are really easy. Making a game in like ZZT and Twine and stuff with all the tools that are out there, easy. But making something that other people want to buy, that's where it gets hard. Props to you for these late nights. And I really hope you do see success with this game. Like, I understand you're not going to be a multimillionaire that ends up buying Beyonce's house from a game like Super Multitasking. But I do hope it gets people to recognize your talent, if nothing else. I do hope it gets people to take you seriously. I hope you get everything I could never get through this podcast, YYR.
Well, you know what? Like I've always said, if this does wind up becoming big and then like people are all of a sudden lining up to try to interview me, I'm going to be like, okay, so the game's coming out on a Friday, right?
Right.
So if everyone is all of a sudden lining up to interview me, I'll be like, okay, well, I'll start entertaining those requests on Monday, but Sunday night, I'm doing an exclusive interview with Orange Lounge Radio, the longest running podcast about video games on the internet, and not a thing is going to change that.
And that loyalty means a lot to me, my friends.
If I bring in a whole bunch of new listeners, that's not a bad thing, right?
I appreciate that. But at the same time, I don't want to set false expectations either. I get really excited at the thought of Super Multitasking. I think it could be a success. But you know what? I thought this show would be a bigger success.
Hey, you did just get an email from a very long-time listener.
You're right. And I don't ever want to make it sound like the show wasn't a success. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be doing it. But the reality is, you're not hearing ads for Squatty Potty for a reason.
Oh, and actually, you know what? I missed the beginning segment of the show. We were visiting my folks today, and I was still on my way home. But you didn't happen to mention KAC at all, did you?
KAC, is that one of the DDR championships that happened?
Konami Arcade Champion.
We, like, tangentially mentioned it happened, but we didn't get into details. So if you'd like to bring up details, go for it.
Well, you know what? To spoil the details, I think, would be detrimental to anyone who would watch it. So I would very strongly recommend, if you're into the DDR scene at all, and if you want to see some really, really great competition, I would definitely recommend that you go to, actually really the easiest way to say this would be if you go to ddrcommunity.com. I mean, they'll probably spoil who won on the front page, but if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll get all the links to watch everything that happened. And I mean, really just knowing the result is not going to spoil your enjoyment of just watching how everything went down, and also the quality that went into the production. Like, they did a great job. They did, like, you know how you know, before a wrestling match or whatever, they always do like interviews, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take this person down. They did all that with all the contestants for KAC also, so it was pretty cool to watch. Like, they had the WWE promo videos down pat. Like, it was pretty cool.
That's funny. Okay, I like that. I like that. I do want to just clarify an earlier statement, because the Rob D in chat makes a great point over at live.vognetwork.com, saying this show is a success for the camaraderie and community it's generated. And you know what, buddy, you're absolutely right. Don't think I don't, you know,
definitely.
even though I like to make tongue-in-cheek jokes. Like, if you can't make fun of yourself, who can you make fun of? But it's one of those things where it's like, it hasn't been the money that's motivated us for 16 years. Let me tell you that. But take it as a compliment that this show has lasted for 16 years without that. And I hope everybody understands what I mean by that. So anyway, the other thing I was going to say with that, it's funny because you bringing up the Konami Championships and saying all that, it made me think of the DDR freestyle tournament that happened recently, which I can say, I don't think I'm stepping out of line by saying, they are working on what's next. It's not going to
nice.
Freestyle will continue. So, but good. I don't have any specifics beyond that. I'll be lucky if I can get them to do the OLR exclusive, YYR does with me. It gives me the exclusive. Anyway, but I want to say this because I don't think Loki's heard this. Did you know there was an earnings call with Round One, the popular chain that does? There was an earnings call, and they talked about, because this is on front page of Bomani Style as well as some other sites. They talked about what the future holds for Round One. They are opening a brand new Round One in Hayward later this year, so the Bay Area is going to get another Round One, which is pretty cool. And in the fourth quarter of 2019, Roseville confirmed getting a Round One Entertainment.
Nice,
right at the they say it's at the Galleria. Which I don't, I'm like, what closed?
Where?
Yeah, that's my question. I'm like, where? But then I'm thinking across the street from the Galleria, they've had that empty furniture store for years where they do the haunted houses and all that stuff. I would bet that's where they put it.
Huh.
Sweet.
Well, their patterns thus far have been, low rent in a mall, like a mall in a low rent area. So
yeah, the Hayward one.
Well, I've got a mall in a low rent area just down the street from my house.
Sunrise Mall.
Sunrise Mall. Hey, let's just bulldoze all the stores. We'll just turn the whole thing into a round.
They're going to turn that mall into an arena. It's doing so bad. That happened in Sacramento, by the way. Our downtown mall was so bad, they bulldozed it, and that's where the Sacramento Kings play now.
I thought it was a pretty nice mall, too.
It was when they first opened it, but did you go there in the past couple years it was open? Where, like, nothing was open, and you'd be walking through just these empty halls, and then, like, there'd just be a random TCBY in the middle.
I went there when they had Battletech.
Apparently Dark Tetsuya did not know that news. Yeah, go check out Bomani Style, DT. And there's some other ones they announced, too. I mean, there's a few in California, which you would expect, but there's some in other parts of the nation as well. I think in the Ohio area there was one that was opening, so go check it out.
Yeah, they're really expanding all over.
Yeah, awesome news. Well, while we are, I'm going to be doing super multitasking after the show tonight, so I imagine I'm not the first to stream it, but I've got to be one of the first, right?
You know what? I sent codes to a few people on a message board, and they said they would be looking forward to streaming it, but to be honest, I've been so busy, I don't know if anyone streamed it yet or what. So because the show is ending a little bit early tonight, I will actually be able to tune in for a bit. Ooh. So you will be the first person that I watch stream it.
I'll fucking take it. There we go. Live with the creator. All right. And that'll be coming right up here. I'm going to wrap things up here pretty soon. So while we are on that note, I'm going to let you go, and I am going to wish you luck with the game that is out February 23rd. And I'm usually not such a commercial whore for products, but those of you that have been listening to OLR for a long time know that, like, I like to think we've personally had a hand in pushing this game to make YYR, like, fucking motivate him to do it. So
now, if only it could just push me into making a game.
I'll try.
I'll tell you what I've been doing lately. I've been down this rabbit hole of trying to hack arcade DDR mixes to add new songs to them.
So there is a little piece of this baby that I do feel like we owe a little bit to. So that's why I want to see you do well.
Thank you. And Loki, seriously, like, just throw Stepmania on it if you want to add songs. It's just going to be so much easier, and it's going to save you so much time.
I know, but I like the challenge.
You don't know him like I do. Sometimes he has to do it the hard way to say he fucking did it the hard way. He's a guy like that.
I understand. Yeah, I have all the stuff to put Stepmania on there. I have all the hardware and everything I need to do that. I want to try it this way because it hasn't been done yet.
All right.
All righty. Cool. All right. Well, enjoy.
All right, my friend. I'm going to let you go. Take care, buddy.
Have a great week, you guys.
You too. Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay, I am going to close up the Skype line on that note. Sorry to those that didn't get through, but you can always send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. But I think with that, if there are no last-minute stories, then we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But I want to thank all you guys for downloading the show and checking it out this week, or being here live to listen, whatever the case may be. I know some of you all skipped the 12-hour delayed Olympics footage to come out and listen to the show tonight, so I appreciate that. Thank you. If you liked what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please leave a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or Google Play. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here, we can't air them. So tell a friend or two or 15 about the show. We appreciate it. We appreciate the loyalty, just like YYR has for us. All right. We're going to get final thoughts, and then I think we're out of here for the night. So, Loki, your final thought tonight.
I do actually need to work on a game. I've been thinking about it lately because I've been wasting a lot of time with this whole DVR stuff. And it's actually kind of fascinating because there are people that have managed on the PlayStation 2 versions to swap songs out and do the music and stuff. And it's apparently format-wise, it's pretty similar. It's just the tools to do it for like PlayStation 1 stuff, and a lot of that, it's ironic. I had it on my old hard drive, and then I was copying stuff over from my old hard drive to my new hard drive. I'm like, I don't need that. And I deleted it. And immediately after I deleted it, I'm like, ah, crap, I did need that. So it's all right. But the other day I dumped, because apparently I own most of the arcade discs from the pre-Extreme stuff. So I dumped all those onto my computer to take a look at them. But I'm curious to see, because I know that they've hacked in Marvelous ratings and rankings into Extreme for the arcade.
Right.
So if that's possible, then what else is possible is what I want to know.
And anything is possible.
Exactly. Anything's
right.
possible.
So that was a long final thought. Jesus. All
sorry.
Right. That's okay. My final thought is I think Marissa is going to win Celebrity Big Brother because I'm trash. Good night, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days for another OLR. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.